So I'm very familiar with it, and I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say.
Sam Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm representing Brian Boquist. I represent the 23rd House District, which doesn't mean anything to you. But the reason I have to say the 23rd is I have five rural Western Willamette Valley counties. I have rural Polk County, rural Yamhill County, rural Benton County, rural Linn County, and south rural Marion County. And besides that, I also do some farming down in Tillamook County, and I have a ranch in Wallowa County that I just left about 3.5 hours from. There was 4 inches of snow at the north end of Wallowa County, and I went down to the state maintenance station to drop some things off this morning, and lo and behold, on the way back up, there were 4 fresh sets of paw prints going right back up the road to the ranch. A large mother and 2, I guess, lion cubs going up the road. And since we ranch in that area, we're quite familiar with the cougar issue. And since we have a 9, a 11, and a 13-year-old that run all over our ranch, we're always concerned about the safety of those children. Thank you.
Thank you. The only committee member that isn't here today is Representative Mark Hass, and he had prior commitments and couldn't be here. I want to also thank Patrick Brennan and Jania Zeep, who have traveled up here and set everything up. Patrick's doing the committee administration work, and Jania's doing the video and taping, so I want to thank them. And I often neglect to thank them for all the hard work they do, so thank you very much. I'm Patty Smith. I guess I told you a little bit, but I happen to be from Multnomah County. I grew up in Corbett. My husband and I lived up here for about 9 years and farmed. And we're cattle producers, raise hay. And I've gotten very politically active as a community member. And lo and behold, it took me to the legislature. So here I am. Multnomah, Clackamas, and Hood River County are my districts. So welcome to all of you, and thank you. And we'll try to hear these two bills today. So we're going to hear House Bill 2759 and House Bill 2781. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2759 and House Bill 2781. We're going to hear them concurrently. And Patrick, why don't you tell us a little bit about them, and then we'll have people come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2759 and 2781 are very similar. Both bills would direct the State Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODF&W, to create a pilot program to allow people to utilize dogs in the hunt or pursuit of cougars. It directs the department to report back to the 74th Legislative Assembly on that pilot program, and it also sunsets the pilot program on June 30th, 2008. The two bills differ primarily in that 2759 lists 9 particular counties that the pilot program would take place in. And House Bill 2781 simply says the 6 counties with the highest population of cougars. Also in your packets and on the back table, I believe, are -1 amendments to House Bill 2759. Those amendments make a few changes, and I can just go over them briefly with you.
Okay.
Well, the substantial changes that they make are the date. Both measures contain a date at which other counties can apply to the department to join a pilot program, and the bills currently have that at January 1st, 2007. Counties may begin to apply. The amendments change that to June 30th, 2008. And as well as then, I believe in Section 1, at the end of page 1, you'll see that there's some language that is added. It adds some language that says the department may, as part of the rules adopted to implement the pilot program, establish standards for handling dogs and for training persons using dogs in hunting. And it also says that the commission may not limit the number of cougar tags issued or the number of persons who may utilize dogs under the pilot program. However, the commission may limit the number of cougars taken in order to ensure that wildlife policy objectives are met. And another change that it makes, because it changes the sunset date of the pilot program from June 30, 2008 to January 2nd, 2010, and because of that, the department would be reporting back to the legislature, not to the 74th Legislative Assembly, but to the 75th, following the end of the pilot program.
Okay. Do we have any word on the fiscal?
Oh, yes, I can speak to that. I've been in contact with the Legislative Fiscal Office, who's been working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife to develop the cost of the program. At this time, they still have some questions that they're working out regarding some of the aspects of the pilot program, what it's going to entail in terms of studies, and so they do not have a finalized fiscal impact statement, but they do indicate that we have a threshold with the legislature that any bill that has a cost of over $50,000 must be referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and they indicate that it will pass that threshold, and we have received permission from the Speaker to refer the bill to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you, Patrick. Representative Roblin wants to know if the fiscal is the same on the other one.
I believe that the two fiscals, the fiscal and the two bills, there probably will be a difference in that the pilot program for 2759 encompasses 9 counties rather than 6. However, because other counties would be allowed to join later on, eventually there will be once we hit 2008, the fiscal will become indeterminate because it's impossible to know how many counties will apply.
So both will be needed. Will be going.
Yes, we have been told that both bills would have more than $50,000.
Right. Okay, I'm going to start because I'm one of the co-sponsors on House Bill 2759. And I think I only want to add that I'm asking for the support of House Bill 2759 because I think we have to manage cougars in this state. There is no doubt that there is a problem. And I, after hearing testimony this last session, the one that Representative Beyer referred to, and we had a young man, probably 6 years old, that came and testified in front of us, and it was very compelling. He had been attacked by a cougar. And Washington has since gone to this program, and public safety is an issue. I don't want to be responsible when someone's child or I just the thought of pets being attacked by these animals. We have to do a better job in this state, and that's why we're looking at this, and that's why we want the pilot program. So I think that's all I'm going to say on that. Representative Sumner, did you want to say anything on this bill?
No, I'm ready to hear testimony.
Okay.
But I totally concur with what you're saying.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if we weren't trying to do something about controlling a dangerous bird. Control is the key word here.
Thank you. Patrick, we received a letter from Representative Dave Hunt, who is the other co-sponsor on, and we have 50 co-sponsors on this bill, so I want to add there was 3 chief sponsors, and it's very complicated on how that process works, but Representative Hunt couldn't be here today, but he did send a letter. So, Patrick, would you like to read it into the record?
Yes, Madam Chair. Chair Smith and members of the committee, my name is Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2759, a limited pilot program that would provide additional information and resources to control Oregon's rapidly growing cougar population. House Bill 2759 only allows for the use of dogs to control the cougar population in 10 counties in northeast and southwestern Oregon. This program will not only increase public safety, but also will allow ODF&W to gather additional information about the effect of cougar and cougar populations on public safety, livestock depredation, and deer and elk herds. 2759 allows for the hunting in Umatilla, Wallowa. Union, Baker, Grant, Douglas, Coos, Curry, Josephine, and Jackson counties, as well as other counties that can demonstrate that public safety or property have not been adequately protected from cougars. By allowing this limited pilot program, counties will be able to determine the effectiveness of existing mechanisms for protecting public safety and property and make recommendations in a report about improvements for future efforts. As a voter, I twice voted to ban the use of bait and hounds to hunt bears and cougars. And as a result of that ban, however, the cougar population in Oregon is almost doubled. We cannot continue to stand still while this cougar population and the human population continue to grow. The current situation is a recipe for disaster impacting public safety and property. While serving in the 2003 House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, I heard passionate testimony from many Oregonians on both sides of the issue. While using dogs to hunt cougars remains a controversial and highly politically charged issue, I remain convinced that ignoring Oregon's growing cougar population raises serious public safety concerns. Recognizing the urgent need to control the growing cougar population, Washington, the state of Washington, recently passed similar legislation to House Bill 2759. House Bill 2759 is a reasonable compromise that addresses the real and serious public safety concerns of numerous Oregonians. I am proud to join with Chair Smith, Representative Sumner, and a large bipartisan group of legislators to support House Bill 2759. This bill is a focused solution to a serious problem. Signed, Dave Hunt, Representative, House District 40, Clackamas County. And I might add, Clackamas County is where I'm from, and that's why I apologize. I didn't pronounce Wallowa correctly.
No, don't apologize.
We'll rehearse you later.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll take care of that later. That's fine.
Boy.
I mispronounced lots of words. Thank you. I think we've pretty well said what we want. Representative Butler, did you want to be first and talk about 2781 or 2759, whichever you desire? Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the Committee of House Agriculture and Natural Resources. My name is Tom Butler from Ontario, Oregon, representing House District 60. I thought what I'd do today is just give you a brief genesis of House Bill 2781, which is before you as well, and which your staff has lightly touched on. And I am a co-sponsor of House Bill 2759 as well. The genesis started back in the 2003 session after we read reports and stories of some of my constituents here in Baker County with the cats that would show up, and a crazed cat that showed up stalking children and eventually was killed on the back doorstep after it attempted to hit a child on the other side of the glass on the on a storm window. Senator Ferrioli and I, Senator Ferrioli representing Senate District 30, including Baker County, came forward with a bill, and we worked through it, recognizing we'd had previous legislation that had been attempted in the 2001 and the 1999 session to come back and address the growing cougar population. And we came forward in 2003 with House Bill 2574. House Bill 2574 basically set up a program statewide where we could have local committees. The local committee consisted of three people, or three votes. One was the county commission. We know those folks are elected on a regular basis and have to be responsive to their voters. That the commission as a whole voting represented one vote. The county sheriff, that's the highest elected law enforcement official within any county. And the third was the local resident game biologist. And we would form these committees. We put very, very limited amounts of authority that they had, but what they would have was an opportunity to return to address the population of increasing population of both cats and black bears. The concern became one of when they would implement these committees, and we actually had amendments to limit the numbers of times that these folks would meet as many as 15 days, as few as none, that they could meet together when they received reports of number one, all of the cat permits had been taken in a particular hunting area in a particular county, and that there were still an excess or an abundance of cougars. And so what we did was we modified that in such a fashion to attempt to have some local input together with the state biologist. That bill did not pass out. It did not have the support in both the Senate and the House and the governor. However, I worked closely with Senator Bob Morton in Washington from time to time on issues dealing with rural eastern Oregon and rural eastern Washington. Bob Morton picked up our House Bill 2574 and introduced Senate Bill 6118 in the 2004 Washington Legislative Assembly, and House Bill 6118 passed on, was signed into law on March 4, 2004, and it basically mirrored everything that we have in these two particular House bills. The one thing that Governor Locke, and incidentally, Governor Locke signed it into law after a 90-5 vote in the House and an overwhelming majority in the Senate voted yes in approving that bill to pilot, and it was our program, but it was a pilot. And I have information about that. Roy Elliker from the Fish and Wildlife, from whom you'll hear in just a few minutes, sent me a letter on April 19, 2004, and said, They recognize the problem here in Oregon. They recognize the problem in Washington. And he said, look what happened to this same kind of a program that had been introduced here, somewhat modified, in Washington. And it had passed and had received governor's approval. The one thing that Governor Locke did veto, and he has line item veto or section veto opportunity under Washington law, he vetoed the section that said other counties can add on to this. And Madam Chair, I would have you and the committee please consider the possibility of eliminating that as an amendable possibility for your pilot program. If the pilot program, which is largely an attempt to feed back additional information, and that's what my bill in the 2003 assembly really lacked, was it lacked reportability and accountability. And if there's an agency in the state of Oregon which thrives on scientific information and information relative to what's going on, it's the Fish and Wildlife, and they need that information. I commend you for having it in the bill, and I would commend that issue going forward. But again, in an attempt to try and develop a pilot program, my House legislation 2781 limited it to only six counties without counties being able to participate as additional counties, again recognizing that in Washington that was something that Governor Locke said, that's a section that I don't much care for. I do really like the actual reporting back information. So with that, colleagues, I want to express my support. The folks that you'll hear today, in addition to some of the agency people, will be real-life cases. And how I do wish Representative Haas were here to hear these things. I doubt that he has many cougar calls or bear calls in Beaverton, but I think it'll be very important for us to be able to relay this information back to Representative Haas, because he does represent a section of the state where perhaps those folks aren't as pending the situation as we are here in rural Oregon. And again, these folks, they're impassioned about this because this is their livelihoods. If a cougar kills our dog or our cat, that's a terrible loss for a family pet. If a cougar kills or disturbs your herds of cows, your other domestic animals, that's part of your livelihood. The worst case scenario, and we're looking at that right now, is when a cougar kills one of us, then we've got to take action. So I commend you for holding the hearing and for bringing it to Baker County, to House District 60. Again, welcome to House District 60. It's great to have you here. Enjoy the Interpretive Center and all the other great historic activities that there are for you to enjoy here in Baker County and in Eastern Oregon. And with that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'll be happy to entertain any question, but would please beg your indulgence. It's been since December 15th that I've been home to Ontario, and I'd like to be able to make it to my own bed before any snow lands on the pass, any more snow lands on the pass.
I think we can have that arranged. Any questions for Representative Butler? I think they heard you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your hospitality. And drive safe. I'm going to call up the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Roy Elliger and Ron Anglin are here to represent the department. Thank you for traveling up here. Welcome. A little different than in Salem, huh?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name for the record is Roy Elliger. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And on my right, Mr. Ron Anglin. He's our Wildlife Division Administrator. And, Madam Chair, we have the pleasant opportunity or chance to often come before this committee and are pleased to do so, and I appreciate the opportunity today. I did want to introduce some additional resources I brought with us today in case the committee wanted to get in some specific Northeast Oregon wildlife cougar issues. I just want to make a couple quick introductions. I have with me today Mr. Bruce Eddy from LeGrand. He's our Northeast Regional Acting Manager, and He's here today. Also, Dwayne Jackson. He's our wildlife research project coordinator from Roseburg and very knowledgeable about some ongoing research involving cougars, if there's questions about that. And Lieutenant Randy Scorby, a local here from Baker City. He is our East Region Fish and Wildlife Division lieutenant. And so they're here present today if any particular issues come up that might concern them. Madam Chair and members of the committee, as you know, cougars are a serious issue for our department, and serious on the, because of their impacts on other big game resources and on wildlife damage issues. Since the passage of Measure 18 in 1994, the passage of that measure has fundamentally changed how the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife manages cougars in this state. And just to, I guess, to be short and to the point, two of the things we've done to try and increase cougar management and cougar harvest in the state has been to greatly reduce the fees to get a cougar tag in the state, and frankly to extend the season out from 10 months statewide, and in some areas of the state it's now 12 months where cougar hunting can go on. I wanted to speak directly to the bills because I know there's a large crowd here today, and I'll have a chance often to see you if there's questions about our testimony. But regarding our testimony on House Bills 2759 and 2781, very similar bills, basically looking at our prepared testimony, under this legislation, the department would be required to develop and conduct several cougar management activities under the pilot program. They include doing some comprehensive modeling of populations for the identified counties, specific population management objectives and harvest within each of the counties, consultation with the counties, Fish and Wildlife Commission rulemaking to authorize and implement any pilot program, implementing a special control hunt system for the program, also putting into place a system to analyze and evaluate the success of each portion of the program, and also put in a reporting system specific to the program. So, Madam Chair, there is a number of tasks the department would be ongoing if any pilot program passed, and you discussed a little bit about the fiscal. I assume that we'll have more discussions in Ways and Means about that. We've been working very closely with some of the sponsors of this bill, including yourself, Madam Chair, and just to be on the record, we did have some concerns about these two bills originally, and just to sum those up, for the department to effectively implement a pilot program, we would ask that the pilot program be reduced from the present 10 counties. That would be very difficult on two large, very large, and very distinct and separated geographic areas. Would be difficult for the department to undergo the pilot programs on. Our second point, and Representative Butler spoke to this, once the pilot program got underway, it would be very difficult to allow additional counties in. That would add just a greater cost, and we would ask probably that that be changed. There was some ambiguous language as part of the original bills about statewide pursuit seasons or perhaps general pursuit seasons, but we read that as it could be either way, but I think unless we can clearly define how a pursuit season works to give us particular scientific data, that might be something that needs further discussion and refinement in a bill that the department gets involved with a pilot program. We'd ask the sunset date to be changed, and I think the amendment already does that, and to clarify the reporting requirements. And Madam Chair, we did receive yesterday the amendment, yesterday morning, thanks to the work of Pat Brennan. And if you'd like, Mr. Anglin can speak specifically to a couple issues in the amendment.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Elliker in the meantime? No. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator. Roy already touched on a couple of the different items that that we still have some concerns with. Most of the amendment did address some of the items that we had identified originally with the sponsors, and we're very pleased with those adjustments. We are still concerned about a full implementation in 10 counties on House Bill 2759.
To do that would actually double our costs when we do look at the fiscal, and it makes it very problematic for us to carry that out in that broad of a sense. We feel that by reducing it down to a five-county area, and we would specifically look at Northeast Oregon, would be our recommendation that we can take advantage of some of our existing research, and we can more easily answer the questions that are outlined within in the bill itself. The non-lethal pursuit seasons is still a concern to us because of the ambiguity within in the statute language. We would like some clarification on that because it can be read that it could be pursuit season statewide versus just within the pilot program area. And then as Roy already said, the value of the pursuit season being able to evaluate whether it does have an impact from a scientific standpoint and what we would gain from that. And then the third thing that we would like to have addressed is there is some disagreement between us and the sponsors of the bill relative to the cougar hunting season itself or with the use of hounds, whether it would be a controlled hunt or anybody that has a general cougar season tag could use dogs to hunt during that hound hunting season. We have some concerns about a general hunt and the potential number of people that could be out at any one time. We would be operating under a limit on the number of cats that could be harvested according to the pilot program and our current quota system, and it would be very easy to exceed that quota when you're very close to it if you have no kind of regulation on the number of people that are out there at any one time. So our preference would be for a controlled hunt system with a limited number of tags. What that would be, I couldn't answer at this point in time. It would depend on the specifics of implementing the bill. Those are the three concerns from an amendment standpoint that we still have.
Okay. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You alluded both in the written testimony and what you just said about current studies that are going on in the same area. Are we finding any information currently from the research with regard to, I think it's on elk predation, actually, in elk. With respect to cougar and stuff, and I'd love to hear what we're finding so far.
Chair Smith, Representative Roblin, yes, we are finding out information from the Northeast Oregon study. Currently, we're in the second full year of data collection on the project, and we are finding that cougars are having an impact on elk calf survival and recruitment into that population. Nutrition does not appear to be playing a factor at this point in time. We have had some variable results depending on the year. That's why you need multiple year studies so that you can level that all out. We're not ready to make a definitive scientific statement at this point in time based on 2 years worth of data, but it does appear that cougars are impacting elk populations and recruitment.
Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The number of tags that you've been allowing in a lot of these Northeast units for elk hunting, how have those numbers been trending?
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, overall they've gone down in the last few years. We've seen reductions in populations. We felt that it was due to a variety of factors. That's part of what the research has been identifying to look at, is to see if nutrition is playing a role in this, to see if pregnancy rates are playing a role in this, and to see if predation is playing a role in this. And as I stated already, it appears that nutrition is not a factor. It appears pregnancy rates are not a factor. And so far, it looks like survival due to predation is the main role in declines in the two study areas.
Thank you.
Just a follow-up question. In Representative Hunt's written testimony, he talked about the doubling of the population of cougars. Do we have any information from this study or others as to the population currently of cougars in the state of Oregon? And if not in the state of Oregon, in this county areas that you're working in?
Chair Smith, Representative Roblin. Yes, we do. We have a modeled cougar population for the whole state, and it has grown from around 3,100 cats in 1994 to an estimated 5,500 today. that growth was about 11% per year in the early years right after passage of Measure 19, or 18 rather, and today it does appear to have slowed down a little bit. Our cougar studies associated with the research projects are making some population estimates for each of the project areas, verifying densities and home range sites. I couldn't give you a figure on that right now. We could get that for you if you really wanted it. But we are, with our research, trying to refine our methods for estimating populations.
Thank you. I guess I only had one question. You said there was 3,100 in 1994 and about 5,500 today. So in today's Oregonian editorial, there was a number that we now are taking more cats. Percentage-wise, it's not the same, is it? I mean, we're seeing we have more, so of course we're getting more. Is the percentage dropped? Am I making myself clear?
Chair Smith, percentage-wise, we're probably... I'd have to look at it exactly, but I haven't figured that out. We're probably taking less cougars overall per unit effort than what we did back in when we could use dogs, keeping in mind that prior to the passage of Measure 18, at the peak, we only offered 569 cougar tags in the whole state, and the most cats we took during hunting season was 180 cats. Today, we have around 34,000 tags, and the most that we have taken during hunting season has been 264 cats in 2004. Now, you would expect as the population has gone up that you would see increased harvest, and the fact that we now have that many tags out there and incidental harvest occurring over a broad area would also allow for more harvest. So I would say that it's not unusual that we're seeing more hunter harvest. It certainly is not as efficient as what the use of dogs is.
I guess my final question is, do you think we have a problem with cougar management in this state?
Chair Smith, there are certainly areas of the state that we have problems with cougar management, yes.
Comment on that?
No, he didn't. No, I agree.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think,
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and fundamentally, and people say, well, you kill more cougars now or harvest more cougars than you used to back in the early 90s, and Ron is exactly right. First of all, we used to not offer, you know, hardly any tags because it was much more efficient when you got a tag to hunt with dogs. Your success rate was much, much higher. And I guess the second issue is most of the harvest that is done of cougars now by hunters is on a purely, almost purely accidental basis, where a hunter is hunting big game or something else, he's out in the woods, and he comes across a cougar. And so what that means for us as a department, in areas where we want to try and reduce cougar populations and manage them in relation to big game herds, it's almost impossible for us now to focus with any kind of successful effort a reduction of cougar resources, say, in that one region. Because before, we could have, say, in that area where we want to take more cougars out of the population, we could have focused more tags there, and hunting with dogs probably be much more efficient and have a higher rate of chance of harvesting more cougars from that area that we've targeted, where now it's on such a purely random basis that a hunter just hunting deer or elk or whatever and wanders through the woods and sees a cougar, and cougar tags are down to, what, $10 a piece now?
That's correct.
And so they shoot the cougar, and boom, the cougar's harvested. But not in any kind of better management way, if you follow my drift. And that's really, it's been difficult since 18 for us to do that focusing, which is so important to be able to manage wildlife resources, whether it's cougar, big game, or whatever.
So you agree we need to do these bills. We need to manage our cougars. We need to find a way, whatever that way is, to manage this.
Madam Chair, as a member of the committee, one of the reasons that the department has worked closely with the sponsors is because the department feels somewhat that we could use more information on cougar population and using that population data, then we might be able to better manage our cougar populations, both from human cougar encounter and those kind of interactions, which allow most folks are not very happy about those things, and they happen all the time, much more frequently than they ever did in this state, and also in terms of big game impacts or livestock damage impacts. So if there's a program that we could work together on to enable the department to come up with better information about how to manage cougar populations. I think most Oregonians, that's a successful story.
Thank you very much. Representative Perfect.
Because of your question, thank you, Madam Chair. Has the department come up with any numbers or ideas about what a good population of cougar would be in the state?
Chair Smith, Representative Roblin, I guess I felt like we could get into a lot of detail on numbers and everything else, and we're happy to come by and talk to you about that. I might call my wildlife research folks are here and that kind of thing, but I guess I prefer to come by and talk more specifically about population numbers and management with you at this point, knowing that there's a fairly large crowd of people that would like to get a chance to speak. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that's great with me.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And you'll stay around.
We'll be here.
Right.
We'll be
thank
here
you.
Throughout the whole hearing. Great. And if you'd like to call us back up to address particular questions or issues that arise from the public testimony, I'd be happy to do that.
That'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have another panel to present the sponsors of the bill. Jared Broadfoot from the Safari Club International, Al Elkins, Oregon Hunters Association, Steve West and John Schiller. About 50 people signed up, so I would love to hear what they have to say, and that's really why we came here. So I guess you get my drift.
Absolutely. I will make my best attempt to keep it brief. For the record, Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jared Broadfoot, representing the Oregon chapters of Safari Club International, SCI, First for Hunters. This bill is our bill, along with the Oregon Hunters Association, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and the Oregon Guides and Packers Association. I just wanted to start off today in somewhat of a response to the Oregonian editorial. What I got from the Oregonian editorial is Multnomah County, Clackamas County, and Washington County have spoken. Who cares about the rest of the state? You're going to do what we say. Well, I tell you what, the folks over in this side of the state or anywhere else in the state don't agree with that. The counties that our House bill addresses, House Bill 2759, would be Umatilla, Jackson, Josephine, Wallowa, Union, Baker, Grant, Douglas, Coos, and Curry counties. In every one of those counties in 1994, Measure 18 failed. So the voters of those counties didn't support Measure 18. They supported the use of dogs for the hunting of cougars. The total vote was 39% yes to 61% no collectively from those counties. So in response, I would say this bill addresses 10 counties. Those counties obviously support cougar management. Also, for Patrick's benefit, my mother was born and raised in Wallowa County, and actually she refers to it as the county. continuing to address the amendments to House Bill 2759 and to briefly run through it and then make some other comments, what we're attempting to do here is to address how we manage cougars to the future. We've got a tremendous problem. Our elk and deer populations are being decimated at an exponential rate. I've grown up hunting on this side of the state. I was born and raised over here, and it's rare it was rare to drive from LeGrand to Baker City and not see a mule deer. I've driven over here quite a few times, and you rarely see them. The elk and deer are disappearing. This would set up, obviously, the pilot program, as we've discussed, would require Fish and Wildlife to do a hunting season and a non-lethal pursuit season. The changes between the original bill and the amendment, and I can speak to them specifically just to elaborate on what Patrick said, we want to make sure the rules that the Fish and Wildlife adopts under this pilot program are ensured to make sure we meet our cougar quotas. So if we set a certain number that we need to kill of cougars, we need to meet that number every single year in order to effectively manage the population. The department said they have concern over not doing a controlled hunt. Our amendments specifically prohibit them from doing a controlled hunt because we believe the quota system works. The more tags we can sell, the more folks that we can get out there to hunt cougars, the more effective we're going to be in meeting those quotas. As soon as those quotas are met, we can shut the season down immediately, probably with 24 or 48-hour notice to the folks that are out there in the field. the concern was that we'd go over the quota. Well, one of the concerns that was brought to our attention is if we had a cougar quota, and this is an arbitrary number of 50 cougars in one area, that open in the morning, we could have 80 guys show up with dogs and kill 80 cougars. We don't see that happening. We don't have that many folks with dogs in this state. And if that's the concern, then we would recommend reducing the quota by 10% to ensure that we have some flexibility, that if we go over by a couple animals, that we can account for that. We don't want to see a controlled hunt because we feel it puts a revenue cap on the department. There's a lot of folks who want to hunt cougars and hunt them effectively instead of packing a tag around in their back pocket and shooting it while they're in the middle of calling elk or an archery season or rifle season when they turn around and there's a cougar about 10 feet from them. Or the ones who fill their tags on school in the school playgrounds in the middle of Baker City or Wallowa or wherever it may be. To continue on, we've changed the reporting to the 75th legislature. Obviously, we've extended the pilot program out to the end of 2009. We need more data. 3 full years of data before a legislative report is appropriate. And then we also added a couple of things into the reporting as far as the report back to the legislature. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of more time, but I want to say I've been working on this issue for a lot of years. I'm certainly not the first one, and I probably won't be the last one to ever work on this issue. But this affects people all over the state, and if we lose our elk and deer herds, if someone gets attacked and killed, and we continue to lose livestock and domestic animals, people are pretty tired of it, and we need a solution. And I'm happy to say, and I want to thank this entire committee for each one of you, either chief sponsoring or co-sponsoring the bill, along with the rest of the folks in the building. It sends a loud and clear message that we do want to deal with this session. I'm just very hopeful that the Senate will feel the same way, and that the governor of this state, who travels all around the state and wants to, you know, reach out to rural Oregon, sees this as a priority, because it is, and we're not going to let this issue just fall to the side, because we're going to deal with it. And socially acceptable cougar populations right now are reaching a boiling point, and just as they did before the 1930s when the population was dwindled to 200 animals. Folks in rural Oregon have a way of dealing with predators if they become socially unacceptable, and we don't want to see that level. We're proud to be conservationists. We're proud to say that we're responsible for every bit of wildlife management in this state and throughout the nation by tag and license dollars, and we want to see that continue instead of the opposite of these animals being classified again as a predator, which I'm sure a lot of folks would prefer. With that, I think I've responded enough to the Fish and Wildlife's comments, but to answer a question, there's been a 90% reduction in elk tags, I believe, in Wallowa County since 1994. Obviously, that's a pretty big revenue impact to the counties over in this side of the state, where when you have 9,000 or 10,000 less hunters coming over to hunt, they're not buying gas, they're not buying food, and that's a pretty big economic impact. And the last thing would be that the economic impact to the department, if the Dash 1 amendments, in which we hope you will adopt the Dash 1 amendments and move the bill today, under the Dash 1 amendments, I don't see the large fiscal impact. I see definitely a fiscal impact because it's going to require the department to do something. But certainly we have plenty of money within the department. If we sell 35,000 cougar tags, as we did last year or more, at $10 a piece, that's about $350,000, if my math's correct, that we have that should be going to cougar management. So, and we certainly would be willing to help with reporting, to make sure that the members of our organizations are help out in any way we can through volunteerism. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have on the bill or anything else.
Any questions for Jared? Representative Berquist?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have one question. It's actually fairly simple. If the Dash 1 amendment was passed, do you believe your organization can work with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to have a successful program?
Madam Chair, Representative Boquist, absolutely. If the Dash 1 amendments are adopted, we can work with them to have a successful program implemented.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Burley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Similar question. There were specifically two things I was interested in, and I apologize. I should have asked the previous panel this as well. In ODF&W's comments here, they said that 2759 calls for a general pursuit season, and I must admit I don't specifically see that in the draft, either the original or the Dash 1 amendment. So I'd like your comments on that, and also ODF&W's comment about there is still some disagreement over the controlled hunt with hounds or general season tag holders using hounds. And I believe, Representative Boquist, that was kind of along the lines of your question, too. Can these differences be worked out?
Madam Chair, Representative Burley, to the first question, as far as a non-lethal pursuit season, a lot of the folks, especially from more urban areas of the state who co-sponsored this bill, felt it necessary to have a non-lethal pursuit season in there. Whether that runs concurrent to a hunting season or whether the department decides to have it as separate, and I know there's no scientific way we can judge this, but to mentally train cougars, chasing cougars with dogs, teaching them to fear humans is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing that will increase public safety in this state. Certainly we're willing to work with the department, but to a certain extent, understand that we've been down this path before, and we've tried to repeal Measure 18, and we've met with resistance, namely from the governor's office, through the years. We certainly want something that's going to be effective, and we're not willing to accept things that are going to render a pilot program ineffective or bring us results that aren't to what we think are out there. If we go at this and approach it from a 20 or 30% effort instead of 110, we feel we're going to fall way short and that we could lose this management tool forever if we come back with numbers that aren't appropriate or that don't reflect what the current situation is out there. To the controlled hunt issue, Madam Chair and Representative Burley, I don't see the need for a controlled hunt. A controlled hunt controls hunters. We can control the number of cougars taken through the quota system and through immediate reporting when cougars are taken. Like I said, I think there's too much fear out there. We've done a good job of controlling hunters through a controlled hunt system, and if we're looking at a limited tag scenario throughout the counties that this pilot project is involved with, I think we fall short of whatever our objectives are, to see what the full impact of using dogs as a management tool for cougars, what impact that has within these counties. And to take a small approach to that, I don't think it gets us there. We're absolutely willing to work with the department, but we want to have an end product that's actually going to do something.
Thank you.
Mr. Elkins, did you want to weigh in on this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jared.
Madam Chair, members of this committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins with the Oregon Hunters Association. Representative Burley, to your question about the non-lethal pursuit, we're fortunate today to have a Mr. Dave Walker, who's a houndsman, who's taught me a lot about pursuits and lethal and non-lethal. And once he comes forward today and testifies, I think you need to direct that question to him, because Jared is correct. It does change the behavior of the cats, and it does help protect public safety, and Mr. Walker can summarize that for you and show you how that's done. So, if I may, Madam Chair, just continue on with my testimony. For the record, again, Al Elkins, Oregon Hunters Association. I have before you some written testimony. I won't go through that. I just wanted to hit on some key points. First of all, we want a program that will manage and control. Therefore, we support both bills. We're concerned about public safety. Obviously, we're concerned about elk and deer deprivation. I think the biggest asset that I see in all of this is the reporting that on page 2 of the Dash 1 amendments, which, by the way, we support, will in effect provide us with information that we don't currently have and that we will need for the future in relation to tag distribution, MOs for elk and deer, et cetera. So I think that is extremely important. Madam Chair, I see your job and the committee's job as huge. And the points I would just like to make is that this committee needs to pass a bill that's going to pass both chambers and be signed by the governor. It's got to be a bill that keeps the fiscal low for ODF&W. It's got to be doable for ODF&W. It's got to get the state of Oregon data that we do not have, and it's got to be able to harvest cats. So I think you've got a huge job. I think the Dash 1 amendments help get us there. I'd just like to finish by saying what the board said to me last Saturday, the Oregon Hunters Association board, that what we have now is nothing, and what we want is something to manage cats. Thank you. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Elkins? Mr. Elkins, I didn't see a Mr. Walker signed up to testify.
Oh,
so.
Check. We'll see if he does.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Steve West, host and owner of Steve's Outdoor Adventures television show and resident of Hermiston, Oregon. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2759 and would like to make the following comments regarding the bill and what has been for the past 10 years cougar mismanagement in this state. My presentation to you today is not based on emotions or personal beliefs on the matter, but rather the facts that I've been able to gather through conversations with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife biologists, my personal field time, and experience in the wild as both a professional hunter, guide, and host of a television show, and conservationist. It should be noted that a significant amount of my personal outdoor time is spent in the mountains of northeast Oregon. Hound hunting for cougars should be reopened in the northeast and southwest zones of Oregon, if not the entire state, on a quota harvest system with no limitation on tag sales. This will allow our state Game and Fish Department to collect thousands of dollars in non-resident and resident tag fees, which I'm sure the state would prefer to collect rather than $4 tag application fees. It should also be noted that just like with elk and deer tags, there's a significant percentage of people who draw tags every year because of work limitations, injuries, and other reasons they don't actually go hunting. So if you issue a certain number of tags for a particular area, there's a decent number of people who aren't actually going to go hunt on those tags, even though I'm sure they would like to. That's why a quota system would be far more effective in controlling the numbers of, you know, cougars in a particular region. Quotas should be set fairly high for the two zones, significantly higher than they are now. Since cougar numbers are not easily calculated, it's not known exactly how many cougars are in the state, but it's a significantly higher number than in 1994 when hound hunting for cougars was eliminated. Hunters are now seeing more cougars than ever before, and calf ratios and elk herds in the Starkey, Ukiah, and Winnehaw units are well below management minimums and at dangerously all-time lows. Should an accidental overharvest of cougars occur because of the quota, like the word not getting out in time, this is going to be fairly insignificant because, as any knowledgeable biologist understands, cougars colonize and reproduce far more rapidly than most other species of big game in the state of Oregon. It'll take a lot shorter period of time for those cougars to come back in numbers than it will to bring back elk and deer in a specific area. So it's more important that we hit the cougars hard and let the deer and the elk come back. It's the consensus opinion of every Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife biologist that I've spoken with in recent months that high cougar populations are directly to blame for the exceptionally low calf ratios in our elk herds. While these same herds have taken dips in calf ratios before, never has it been to this extreme. In two of the units, the calf ratio was reported to me to be at 16 calves or fewer per 100 cows, and it takes 20 calves per 100 cows to maintain a herd population. So those herds are going to be reducing in size significantly in the near future. As more and more wolves from Idaho expand into the mountains of northeast Oregon, we'll face even greater predation on the elk and deer herds in the coming years. So it's imperative that we significantly reduce the cougar populations here over the next year or two to prevent the closure of elk and deer hunting seasons. As these two primary species of big game in northeast Oregon will surely fall well below huntable numbers when both cougars and wolves are left unchecked. Or maybe that's the ultimate goal of those individuals who oppose hound hunting with cougars and support the reintroduction of wolves. I guess if you have enough predators, you don't need hunters. It's about time that the educated biologist employed by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife be allowed to properly manage the wildlife in our state. Every one of the biologists I've ever spoken with supports hound hunting for cougars and feels like it's the only means for properly controlling cougar populations and managing not only the wildlife, but also protecting the public as expanding populations in subdivisions and urban developments are forcing these ultimate predators closer and closer to rural cities and towns. By using the most efficient and effective methods to harvest predators and control their populations, they can be more effectively used to manage the elk and deer numbers so that the state has healthy populations of all species of big game, elk, deer, cougars, all alike. It is about time that we stop allowing the population of Oregon to dictate policy on wildlife management when the majority of our population in metropolitan areas makes an emotion-based decision when filling out their ballots and voting on these issues, rather than allowing the very well-educated and trained individuals of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to make these policies. is my opinion that if we do not allow hound hunting for cougars in the immediate future, with a significant increase in the harvest quotas, the state will suffer its greatest wildlife tragedy. I'm certain that we will see the elk and deer populations reduced to such small numbers that hunting seasons will need to be closed. Cougar-human encounters will escalate and eventually result in a severe injury or possibly even the death of a child or other person not equipped to fend off an attack. I ask you to look at California as a prime example on how not to handle this situation. That state has had multiple cougar attacks and fatalities in recent years, and we don't hear much about that state's elk and deer hunting anymore. I would like to propose a hunting policy similar to that being used in Utah at this time, which has been very effective in controlling cougar populations, unlike the policies currently in place in Washington. Although that state has also seen a growth in cougar numbers in recent years, they have adjusted the harvest quotas accordingly as harvest reports and information from hunters, landowners, and biologists become available. I suggest opening the mountain lion season on November 15th each fall and allow that season to run into the following year, closing on March 31st. Allow hunters, resident and non-resident alike, to purchase cougar tags over the counter and hunt for cougars in the two zones, northeast and southwest regions of the state, until liberal quota numbers have been met. Allow for a 48-hour buffer on the quota so that news can get out to hunters through local media, postings on internet sites, and other means of getting the notice out. To increase the quality of individual in the woods, make it mandatory that anyone running hounds for mountain lion pass a test for both hunting skills and ethics. Then this person can accompany other individuals on their hunts. Make it mandatory that these hunters bring their harvested cougars for inspection in ODFW field office within 48 hours so they can collect the information they need. Like right now, they're taking the uterus and other things out of the cougars. Run this program for 5 years and check the status of our elk and deer populations. I'm certain, as are the majority of the ODFW biologists that I've spoken with, that both calf and fawn ratios will rebound and return those populations back to management objectives. I'm also certain that this will remove most, if not all, of the dangers to rural cities and towns in the areas where hound hunting will be allowed. I urge you, our lawmakers, to consider more than just the votes of our liberal metropolitan population when making a decision as important as this one is today, because it's about time that wildlife decisions in our state are made based on intelligence rather than irrational emotions. I'd like to thank everybody for hearing me out today, and I'd be more happy to answer any of the questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Any questions? Representative Sumner?
Just a basic question. Are there any hound hunters left? Are there any packs of hounds available to hunt these cats?
Far fewer than there were in 1994. A lot of our hound hunters in this state gave it up, moved to other states. I know several people who took their dogs and moved them to Idaho and Utah and other states that have similar. That's why it's not going to be possible for, you know, a quota like Jared used, just a nondescript number of 50. You know, you're not going to have 80 houndsmen in the state. They're going to show up in one zone to tag them out.
Exactly.
It's just not going to happen.
It'll take a while for hound hunters to acquire dogs again.
It takes years to develop a pack of quality hounds.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I wanted to clarify real quick as far as, working with the department on, getting an end product that the governor will sign. It would be extremely helpful, I'm sure, for this committee and for every other member of the legislature when making a decision to know what the position of the governor's office was on the -1 amendments and what their suggestions are on a bill that the governor would sign. If we knew at this very moment or during the time we were drafting these amendments exactly what the governor was and wasn't willing to sign, then it would absolutely help our efforts, and we can make a decision then if we're willing to go there, if we think it's going to get us the numbers that we want to be able to have to manage cougars for the future. But it'd be extremely helpful if we could have that. I know last session we found out the answer to very quickly. I think it was 3 minutes after the House Committee on Ag and Natural Resources passed the bill out of committee, we got a veto message. We don't want to go down that road again. It'd be very nice if we could find out where we need to go or what options we have before we get a veto message. So.
Thank you, Jared. I think with 50 co-sponsors, I think it's going to be a little different situation this time, and I think we're all willing to work on this issue. We have to manage cougars in this state, and I think we've all agreed to that. So thank you very much. Thank you. One of the other jobs I get as chairman is to manage our time. And I have about 50 people signed up. What I want to ask is we're going to go into the public testimony part, and I want to, if you hear something that someone else has said, please try not to repeat yourself. It's preferably not to read your testimony. If you want to submit written testimony, we'd be glad to accept it. It makes it just go faster. I want to start with, is anybody here from over 100 miles away? Would you? Quite a few people. I think we get to raise our hands, too. if they would like to go first or in the order, we would certainly be willing to do that. So, is there anybody here that needs to... I see it snowing. I know you can't see it because you're not looking that direction, but it's snowing pretty heavily. But I've lived up here. I know this time of year. So if there's anybody that would... Yes?
My name is John Schiller, and I brought 10 copies of basically what I wanted to say to
okay.
the committee. So if you wouldn't mind... I'll
John Schiller, would you like to come up and give...
I guess I'm supposed to sit up here with these guys, but regardless, I'm kind of representing myself and Bay Ranches, which is an entity that loans 15,000 acres, quote, in the Upper Grand Round region.
Okay,
I can see that you have a lot of people here. That's fine. This
yeah.
is basically
okay.
more than just this subject. I'm addressing bears and wolves.
Okay.
So if you wouldn't mind, I'll give each one of you this.
That'd be great. Why don't you
and
leave
you can
it to me?
Later.
Thank you.
And if you've got a problem with it, well, you can call me.
We will certainly will. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else from... Well, we'll just start. Okay. Mike Hayward, Paul Schwartz, and Bill Moore, would you like to come forward? I'm going to try to do these in panels so that we can cut down the time. And the way it works out, you get about 2 minutes. Welcome. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Mike Hayward. I'm chairman of the Wallowa County Board of Commissioners. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to testify here in Baker City. It's clear, if it wasn't before, that there is a cougar issue in eastern Oregon just by the turnout here. I did submit written testimony, so I just want to emphasize about 3 points because of time. Wallowa County has a serious cougar problem. We have the numbers are the highest that they've ever been. 3 things. Livestock. We have, fortunately, a successful animal damage control program in Wallowa County that is kind of keeping a lid on the cougar problem, but we still have significant losses. Second issue, wildlife. Wallowa County in 1995 issued 7,030 elk tags. In 2002, 4,420. That reduction, according to the state, is about a $3 million loss in revenue to the citizens of Wallowa County. More drastic than that is the cow elk numbers. In 1995, there was 4,140 tags issued. In 2002, there was 260 tags issued. There are no elk in parts of Wallowa County. Some areas in the county have less than a 4% calf survival rate. We will have no elk herds left in Wallowa County. The third issue is public safety. We've had reports of cougars on our golf course. We've had reports of cougars at the school in Imnaha in the playground. It's time something was done about this issue, and I'm here today to support these bills and hope that we can push these through and get something down about this problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to... Paul Schwartz, is that... That's you. Okay. You're next.
Good afternoon. Yeah. I used to raise hounds for years and years. You can bring these hounds back to hunt these calves. There is no better way of keeping them out of town, or you can bring them back and just harass these calves. The cats will not establish a territory where they're being harassed. We can push them back into the hills. I don't care if you hunt these cats or not, but we've got to get them away from the suburbs, and we've got to get them out of the farmland. And the only way you're going to get these cats to respect where the people are is to actively and aggressively get these hounds on them. Now, you know, if they're worrying about over quotas and that, fine and dandy. Let your regional fish and game biologists coordinate the hunts. These ranchers will work with fish and game if they'll work with them. We don't need the hounds running loose all over the state, but we've got to get them pushed away from the towns, and we've got to protect the livestock. It's not right for the rancher to have to support these cats or the bears or now the wolf. That's just not right. And this is something that should have been done 6 or 8 years ago, but at least we're finally getting that first step forward and put it on the governor and tell him it's time to do something for the people in Eastern Oregon.
Thank you very much. Mr. Moore? Is it Bill Moore?
Yes, thank you. Representative Smith, members of the committee, thanks for coming to Eastern Oregon and hearing testimony on these two bills. It's kind of heartening to drive 50 miles to testify instead of about 300 or 350. My name is Bill Moore. My family ranches in the Unity area, which is about 50 miles southwest of here, at the base of the Blue Mountains. I appreciate your concerns about the cougar problems in Oregon, and I'd like to go on record as supporting either or both of these bills. I know there are a lot of wildlife management and hunting concerns about cougars in Oregon, but today I want to take just a few minutes and kind of talk from a different slant. In the spring of 2004, we had a young, healthy, not emaciated, there's some pictures there of this cat, come down to our yard through a herd of somewhat starving deer. We had a fairly hard winter in 2004. This cat came through a herd of deer into our yard and tried to kill one of our stock dogs. And before the cat got the job done, some of our other dogs ran her up a tree, and I killed her about four steps, about the distance from me to you, from our house. You know, supposedly these are isolated incidents that won't happen again. But throughout Oregon and throughout the West, you know, these things just keep happening over and over and over. In our case, in the last 2 years, there's been at least 10 different cats within a half mile of our house. These cats no longer have any fear of humans. They continue to get bolder and bolder every day, and as we've heard from some of the previous testimony, the population is healthy and rapidly increasing. As the population is increasing, the number of problems also increases. Now, if I remember my Oregon history, you know, the legislature has a charge to provide for the public safety of the citizens of the state of Oregon. And you people can help now accomplish that charge. Pursuing cougars with dogs will help instill some fear back into cats, and biologists can use them as a population control. They can go back to managing cougars, which currently is not being done, in my opinion. What this pilot program will hopefully do is stop a horrible incident from occurring. Because it's going to happen. It's happened in Colorado. It's happened in California. And I could give a hoot about my dog. You know, dogs are replaceable. But sometime in the near future, you know, there's going to be one of our local teenagers walking the road. There's going to be a jogger in Eugene. My grandchild in the yard. Some kid at a bus stop. Is going to get mauled, and there's going to be a fatality in the state of Oregon. You know, and this problem is not specific to Eastern Oregon. It's a statewide problem. And we need to address the problem, and we need to address it now. We have the opportunity to make a positive impact for public safety and for wildlife management, and I support your efforts and would like to be on record as supporting either or both of these bills.
Thank you. Very much. I was just going to try to tell you to wind it up, but you did very well. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for this panel? Thank you very much. Thank you for your testimony, all of you. I have John Patterson, Jan Kearns, and I have Mitch and Angie Butler. Do you want to come up together? And I apologize for trying to make it short, but I want to get everybody an opportunity to testify. Thank you. John, for the record, you need to state your name.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for letting me testify today. My name is John Patterson, and I own a ranch in Baker County and a ranch in Marion County. My experience with the cougar populations has been over the last 9 years, I have seen a tremendous increase in the number of cats on my ranch. It went from a novelty when I first got there to a concern and for public and my safety and the damage to my animals. The Fish and Wildlife has expected me over time to manage my ranch for the benefit of wildlife, but at the same time they tie my hands because of the cougar population. We've had cougars in our yard, cougars in our barn, cougars in my guest house. The last one I killed was off my porch. Not unlike Mr. Moore, we have the same problems. What the Fish and Wildlife has done with their rules is they have to make me decide whether it's a safety issue, a damage issue, or a controlled hunt issue. It means I can allow controlled hunters on my ranch, but for me to kill a cat, I either have to be a safety or damage. So that means that the cat's got to kill my livestock prior to me being able to take it, or it has to be a safety issue of too close to the house. This last winter we had cat tracks in the snow all over in our yard. I called Fish and Wildlife and they said, well, what one of those three issues is it? I said, I don't know. It hasn't done anything yet, so I'm supposed to decide what to do. They did allow me a permit to use dogs. The dogs were effective in moving the cats away from my house. We did harvest the cat, but we did it without dogs. But the mandates involved in chasing these cougars down in the snow on foot is absolutely unbelievable. With a dog, you can do it within 45 minutes. On foot, it may take you days. I thank you for any consideration you can give. I support both of these bills, either one which is adopted, and I look forward to seeing changes in the ODFW rules regarding the harvesting of cougars. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you. Jan?
I have a show and tell.
Oh, okay.
And so if Mr. Brennan would mind just perhaps, if it would work to just take it in front of the members while I talk, and then can I give you these?
Yeah, just leave them out here in Geneva.
My name is Jan Kearns, and I'm a farmer, rancher, 5 miles west of 5 miles west of Haines, right at the base of the Elkhorn Mountains. This cougar, as it comes by you, I'd like you to look at the left. I won't use a human term. It's not a hand. It's a paw. Look at the claws on the left-hand side versus the claws on the right. This cougar was killed just a little over a mile from our front deck 6 years ago. It was a safety kill, and dogs were used on it. It was a 7-year-old female, weighed 105 pounds, and is 7 feet long from the tip of its nose to the tip of its tail. Last summer, Speaker Minnis was at our home and got to see the same demonstration with those nails, so this, as well as Tom Butler. So all of you have had a chance to be up close and personal with this same cougar. I'm speaking as a grandma. I have 3 grandchildren, and I never want the experience of seeing one of my grandchildren or one of my great nieces or nephews mauled or worse by a cougar. When we first came back to the ranch, I was hearing stories of an elderly neighbor who talked about cats, hearing a cat, but there was also concerns that maybe there was some dementia and that she was hearing things. Believe me, once you have heard the scream of a cougar close to your house, it's a sound you'll never forget, and your blood literally runs cold. We had a cougar that was killed, another safety kill, 300 feet, 100 yards from the home of one grandson. About 3 years ago, one of our potato truck drivers, semi-drivers, who was coming to pick up a load of potatoes to take back to Ontario, reported to me at 7 o'clock in the morning, that he had to slow down coming around a corner, coming to our cellars and our work area, to allow a cougar to cross the road in front of him. That was a Friday morning. There was no school that day. Had there been, one of my grandsons would have been sitting right there at that corner because that's his bus stop. There are far too many cougars and far too few ways of taking care of that now. 2 years ago, my husband and I were coming down off our mountain. We have some timber property at the base of the Elkhorns. And we had our two elderly dogs with us who were out enjoying the trip down the mountain with us. All of a sudden, the dogs came from going back and forth across the road to holding very tight against our four-wheelers on the left-hand side. Almost instantaneously, crows flew up from a ravine on the right-hand side. We very definitely believe that we were right there just after a cougar kill, or that the cougar was in the process of beginning to hide that, hide the carcass of whatever had been killed. About 3 years ago, a daughter-in-law was riding her horse up along at the timberline. Dogs are very smart animals. They sense danger before we humans do. She had her dogs behind her, her heelers, and they were just going along the end of the edge of the timber. All of a sudden, those dogs immediately pulled right up next to her horse. She turned around to see what could have spooked the dogs and is quite sure that she saw the rump end of a cougar. She feels she was being stalked on private property. As ranchers, we have no public lands. We do not run on public land. We are all private land. We support willingly a very large elk herd, summer, fall, work cooperatively with Fish and Wildlife, but the brakes have got to be put on this cougar population. To this point, we have not lost a livestock, a cow or a calf yet. We have not lost a grandchild or a niece or a nephew yet. But the use of our private property is greatly impaired because we will not let anyone go up on our mountain unarmed and alone. We are afraid to be up there because of the cougars. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Butler? Mrs. Butler?
Madam Chair, Representatives, thanks for hearing us today. I'm Mitch Butler. I'm from Halfway, Oregon. This is my wife, Angie Butler. We live on the outskirts of Halfway. About probably five, six years ago, I had some contact with a cougar myself and was out scouting for bow hunting and actually came onto a cougar kill. And the cougar was there at the kill. I didn't see it until I was right on it. And she came after me. I was unarmed at the time because I was just scouting. But that was kind of what started my interest in lions, and you know, she backed me up the trail about 20 yards and then turned around and went back to her kill. Since then, I do have my own pack of hounds now. I do a lot of hunting in Idaho and bobcat hunting in Oregon here, and the amount of cougars out there is tremendous. I don't need to tell you that. You've heard that. But now I do help fishing game and controlling some of the problem cats they do have around that area. And it's scary. We have 116 acres out of town there. We've had lions come right through our property and literally pass right through the bus stop where our kids are picked up by the school bus. And it's real scary for me. I've had several calls in the past and have taken care of some problem cats, quite a few calls actually. And the last couple was a family. They live, about 4 or 5 miles out of Halfway, and have a couple kids, and they got to walk out to the road, the main road, to get on the school bus. And those people called me 5 or 6 times within a 4 or 5 day period. They were scared to death of letting their kids walk out to the school bus in the morning. And people shouldn't have to live like that. It's we definitely need to do something. And I think these bills, I support both these bills. I think they're a good idea. Someone mentioned the pursuit of, you know, maybe the pursuit wasn't needed, and this is the way I took it anyway. I think pursuit is needed, especially for your studies, because it gives people with hounds the ability to get their hounds ready for actually hunting. If you're not out there and you're just going to hunting season, your dogs aren't aren't ready to do that. So I think a pursuit season is still a good idea. And
okay. Thank you. Welcome.
I'd like to reiterate the same.
Why don't you move the microphone over to her so everybody can hear her?
Madam Chair, I'd like to reiterate the same thing after having
Cooper. First state your name.
Angie Butler.
Great. Sorry. Thank you. We just do it for the record.
Same. It's very scary. We come from a family of hunters. My children are out there hunting regularly, and I'm very afraid to let them go out without dogs with them. I drive them to school every day because I won't let them sit at the bus stop. It's very sad for me when people call scared to death, and I have to tell them because there's not a real threat issue there, we can't go out and help them. And it's having call after call after call and telling people, sorry, because they know we have dogs, that we can't do anything for you because it's not legal in this state.
Thank you. Any questions for this panel? I want to thank you for your very compelling testimony. And I think we're getting the idea. I have Tom Sutton.
What's this turned out?
Dustin Del Curto and Randy Carter. Renee, I'm sorry. If I could read, I could say these names right. See, with a name like Smith, you don't have to worry. Hi there.
Hi. My name's Tom Sutton.
Hi.
And I live in Butte Falls, Oregon. It's about 9 hours from here. And I'd just like to state that my concern for coming up here is obviously the cougar issue and population. I live on a small piece of property down there, and I killed a cougar in 2003, and it had chased the horses out of the barn. They kicked a panel off the barn the night before. Of course, didn't know that was a problem until the next day when we seen it out in the field chasing them around, you know. So, anyways, I also have hounds and know the concern from the houndsman's point of view. And like the gentleman stated earlier, the pursuit season is something that we can do to instill a fear in these cats not to come close to houses. Whether you got a barking house dog or a hound dog, they've learned that that is something that they don't want to encounter. And without the pursuit season, there's no way a person can really get their hounds into shape and everything to go out and hunt the actual kill season to where we can get our numbers that we're trying to reach here. And anyways, that's about it for me.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Sutton? Where did you say you came from?
Butte Falls.
Butte Falls.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you for making
Thank
the
you.
Trip.
Thank you. I think it's one of the counties.
Yeah. Okay. Is Justin Del Curto not here? And Renee Carter?
Randy. It is Randy.
It is Randy. See? I call you Renee. Now I'll really be in trouble, won't I? You look like that's a, yeah, oh gosh, I'm maybe, sorry.
Maybe he's French, ma'am.
My name is Randy Carter. I'm the Northeast Committeeman for the Oregon Bow Hunters. And I'm not going to really go into a bunch of stuff of why, because we've heard it from the whole gamut of what. Just to say that on behalf of the 7,800 members that we have, that we support both measures. And that also, this is a testimony from a young guy that we hunted with last year. He's 15 years old. And we hunted, he was up in the Mount Emily area. But on the same day, two cougars, one in front, one behind him. And it's not a real good scenario for a young kid to break into. And an arm to the bow is useless when you're in that situation. So I feel that using the dogs, even though I haven't personally ever gone hunting with dogs, but I know that the fear needs to be instilled back in the cougars that's not there right now. And that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Carter? And I apologize for calling you Renee. I'll call you Randy. I guess I might add to that, taking a flashlight when you go calving, you think about cougars every day. And you wish you carried your gun. Just wanted to add that. Howard Martin. And I have Tina and Rob Hill. Oh, we're all in trouble if Eldon's coming up. And who are you? Okay. That's fine. Who wants to go first? Do you want to go first?
You bet. My name's Rob Hill. I'm a wildlife manager for Pine Valley Ranch in Halfway, Oregon. I started there in June 28th of last year. Since that time, I've called Glenn Akers, Mitch Butler, plus Eldon Deerdorf here for lion problems that we've had there. 2 weeks from now, I've got a meeting with the owners. My plan is to tell them what we need to do to get a hunting program put in place there. And what I have to tell them is, we're going to shut it down. We're not going to allow any hunting. Not employees. We're not going to try to book any hunts. We have no deer. There's nothing left. The other problem is, every time we send the kids to go fishing down the creek, we've got to take somebody with a gun. There's no way. It's just not right. We need to do something, and we don't need to wait. We need to hurry it up, really speed this process up. Something is going to happen. We're going to have somebody, a fatality, a mauling, or something is going to happen in Halfway in Richland, and it's going to happen soon.
Thank you, Mr. Hill. Were you testifying for Tina? Yes, okay.
Oh, yeah, we have some
Oh, my goodness. I think Janiel will take them.
These are all letters that are recent.
Oh. Okay. Thank you very much. Did you want to say something, Mr. Deerdorf?
I'm Eldon Deerdorf. I used to be your neighbor.
I know.
Yeah. Seems like every time I go to Salem or somewhere, I'm sitting across the table from you.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drum on anything, really, because you've heard it before. It's facts. We've got problems. And one of the most touching testimonies I've ever heard was about the little boy that you was talking about in Washington. He was so shook up, tore up, he couldn't even testify. His granddad had to do it for him. And I sat down there at those meetings, watched full-grown men cry. I mean cry. Because they couldn't pursue the American dream of their properties, what they wanted to do. They couldn't utilize the back pieces of the property. The wife and children couldn't go out in the pastures. They had herds of llamas slaughtered. It's just ridiculous. And
that was why Washington instituted their policy that they now have, was that little boy was 35 seconds in that cat's mouth.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for the grandfather, he would have not made it. The grandfather was very good testimony.
Yeah, that was that is my main fear. I've been working predators probably 55 years. I worked 17 years for Federal Fish and Wildlife as a hunter trapper. Been 23 years as an outfitter and guide in the Eagle Cap Wilderness here. Worked in Baker, Union, Wallowa counties. I've seen the best of it. I can remember when we had a bounty on cougar. You very rarely ever heard of one. And then it became quite a situation that they started rebounding. I think the first cats that really started showing up, I believe, was in the 60s sometime. And from there, they've just snowballed. And I've witnessed where they've taken 1,200-pound steers. In fact, that hide of that cat hung in the LeGrand District office back of Jim Lawman's desk for years. He didn't kill the steer outright right at the time, but he was big enough that he bit him through the neck, over the shoulders, and used his hind feet so fierce against that steer's ribs around his heart area that it finally killed the steer just by internal damage. So I really feel good about what you guys are doing, and I'd like to be put on your mailing list again, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? And you're Howard Martin?
Yes, my name's Howard Martin. I came from Astoria, Oregon. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
And board. I am the president of the Lower Columbia chapter of Oregon Hunters Association. I'm proud that we sponsor the bill. I would like to say thank you for looking at these bills and sponsoring them. We do have problems in the Astoria, in the Astoria area that are documented. For several years, there has been cats in the city limits of Astoria that have killed pets on people's porches. There was a cat at the Warrenton Grade School during school hours that has been documented. A large male cat is frequently seen at the KOA campground in Hammond, which is not very far from Warrenton downtown. In 2001, I was called to address a cougar problem with the state police where a cat had came into a yard. Children were playing in the yard, and it was a rural area. There's five houses right next to each other. And we tracked the cat. We could see where it had lain behind a trampoline in the woods because the trampoline was very near the timber. And you could see where the cat had lain on against the stump. We then released the hounds. I have hounds, bobcat hounds. We released the hounds. We chased the cat, and we did tree the cat. But because there was no evidence that it had attacked anything or killed anything at that time, the referral from the state police was to leave that cat, which that cat has never been seen in that area, or any cat has ever came back to that area. So I'm in belief that a pursuit season is needed, and there is no scientific study that what we did by hazing that cat kept that cat from coming back, but common sense tells me that because of our efforts, it did not come back. 4 weeks ago, on the Astoria Golf and Country Club, there was a cat in the middle of the day seen by eight people for 45 minutes just laying out in the middle of the day on the golf course. 2 weeks ago, I was walking behind my house, and they were actively logging there. And there was a cat laying in the area that they had just fallen. And one thing I'd also like to add, I had a discectomy in January, and due to that, I was not able to participate in the controlled hunts that I had drawn tags for. And so the point that's been made about this being a controlled effort, I am living testimony that maybe it shouldn't be controlled. It should just be by a tag and let's hunt the cats. Because if I had drawn that tag, I wouldn't have been able to go out and pursue a cat nor take the cat.
Great. Thank you. Did the young lady want to testify?
This is my daughter, Alicia, and yes, she would.
Oh, hi. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Alicia Martin. I passed hunter's education at the age of 9, and since then I have bird hunted and hunted big game with my father. And I believe that if we do not address this bill, that we will no longer have the hunting that we do. And I would also, if we pass this bill, it would give everyone that would like to a chance to actually go out there and get an animal instead of how it is now when they have to try extra hard and they have a very slim chance to get a big game animal due to the cougars and the predators out there.
Thank you, Alicia. Any questions? Well, thank you, and thank you for making the trip up. Thank you very much. Bud Brashler, Terry Clearwater, and Tim O'Leary. Anywhere you'd like. Welcome. Would you like to go first?
Madam Chair, and
see what you get for getting up here first?
Yeah.
Go ahead. For the record, state your name.
Tim O'Leary.
Okay.
And I'm from Azalea, which is in southern Douglas County, about 30 miles north of Grants Pass.
Okay.
Just a little background on myself. I've been a houndman for 45 years. I've treed hundreds of cougars over those years. I worked on the Jackson Creek Cougar Study for the ODFW for 9 winters and treed and collared a significant number of animals there. I've done damage work for ODFW.
Can you speak a little louder?
Is this better?
That's great.
Yeah. Done a lot of damage work for ODFW over the years, so I'm fairly well knowledgeable about cougars. And I'll keep this real brief because I know everybody else wants to testify. I would like to say that I am 100% behind House Bill 2759 in its original form, which is here, without any of the amendments that the ODFW is trying to put in. I don't think this is perfect just the way it is, and I think we need to leave it alone and get it passed. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Any questions? I just wanted to point out the Dash 1 amendments are coming from the sports industry, not the ODFW, is the way I understand it. The Dash 1 amendments that we're talking about are coming from the industry, not the ODFW.
Well, Ron Anglin spoke of not being able to implement 10 counties. They wanted 5 counties.
Okay.
And they want a quota system.
And you support the 10 counties?
I support the 10 counties and no quota system.
Okay.
I mean, no drawing. A quota system on the kill, just the way it says here, and unlimited tags. The ODFW will make enough money to pay for any cost to this program, and if they can't, they can raise the fee on the tags. And I'm sure that the hunters are not going to complain about that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm not real sure how to do this, but thank you.
Just state your name.
Oh, my name's Terry Clearwater.
Okay.
I'm from Butte Falls, Oregon also.
Welcome.
I've got 4 young boys. I've been running hounds for quite some years. I've got a business called Southern Oregon Predator Control. I spend a lot of time with Fish and Wildlife on damage complaints on their cats also. The problem with our district down there is we don't have big ranches. Most of your ranches are 10, 12 acres, and stuff has got to stay on the property in order for it to be done legally. And there's kind of a problem we have down there with these cats coming in killing domestic pets, and the reason they're killing domestic pets is because there are no deer and elk left for them to eat. And the problem with them killing domestic pets is when we take our hounds out, you know, my cheapest dog is probably about $5,000. And when we take our dogs out, these cougars are not scared of dogs. They know how to kill dogs. And when you're on a volunteer system and you put 2 dogs, you know, estimated value $6,000-$7,000 on a bad cat that knows how to kill dogs and eat dogs, and you got no reimbursement or no nothing. We might have waited too long, actually. We should have been taking care of this a long time ago when the cougars still feared the hounds, this and that. Instead, they're being raised in residential areas, right downtown Medford, right downtown, you know. We got a real problem down there. I'm representing about 30 other houndsmen from southwestern Oregon that couldn't make it because it was 10 hours and lots of snow, and that's why I'm up here speaking, and we're all for that, just like Mr. O'Leary. Yeah, it's a real severe situation, and not only up here, but down there also. And I don't see any of our representatives up here, actually. Maybe they're waiting for it to go to the the next level. But anyway, that's how I feel. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? You did very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was sober, so how was that?
I'm right on the coast.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just for his benefit, I think most of his representatives are co-sponsors on this bill.
I think they are.
That's correct.
Yeah. And I am. Bud Brasher, we didn't have. I assume he left. Okay. Okay. Bud Brasher's testimony is submitted by Ruth. Testimony in case anyone didn't hear that. I have Fred Colton, Alicia Martin, and Lynn Shumway. Okay, thank you.
I don't have written testimony, but it looks like it.
I called you again, Alicia Martin. Do you want to speak again, or do you?
Yes, I'll speak again.
Okay.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Alicia Martin. I pass hunter's ed at the age of 9. I've hunted birds, then big game, with my father since that time. He is teaching me ethics and a love of my hunting heritage that I would like to pass on to my children one day. If the predator issue is not addressed, I fear the right to hunt will be taken away by predators. Hound hunting is the effective means of managing the cougar. It will also mean revenue for the state, not a burden to the state. The state should not be paying for trappers and houndmen to eliminate problem animals. I would appreciate the opportunity to hunt cougar in the state with hounds as I do bobcat. I would also like for my children to have a viable population of deer, antelope, sheep, and mountain goat. Which, if hound laws remain the same, the Canadian gray wolf, bear, and cougar will take this opportunity that has been passed down by generations of my family to be passed on to my future generations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Second time's easier, isn't it? Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Lynn?
Chairman Smith and committee members, thank you for coming to Baker. We tend to think of Baker County as the cougar capital of Oregon. One comment I wanted to make.
For the record, you want to state your name?
For the record, I am Lynn Shumway. I'm a lifelong cowboy of Baker County. I also chair Baker County's Natural Resources Advisory Committee. And in the 2003 legislative session, we worked closely with Representative Butler and Senator Ferrioli on trying to get something done here. And so I'm really encouraged to see that you're taking it up again, and I'm in full support of these bills. And both bills I feel comfortable with. There are some things that I'll comment on here. But I did want to comment on the comments by our representatives from ODF&W about being concerned about going over the quota. We took 264 cats in 2004, I believe, was the figure I heard. I don't hear real well. I was sitting behind him. We have over 5,000 cats that are the population is exploding. I cannot see any concern about going over the quota. I would hope they would go over the quota rather than let the population continue to explode the way it is. We have real concern for safety. In the 2003 legislative session, we were pushing to have more power for county government and our sheriff's department, have some flexibility and for safety concerns in trying to control the cougar populations here in the county. But I'd like to address this from the rancher's side of things. I shared a picture with you that a cat was killed on our place second season, elk season, late in 2003. He's in the record books as one of the biggest cats killed in Oregon. that same fall, our neighbor to the south of us, when he came in and weaned his calves that fall, turned out a bunch of cows with young fall calves. And when he went back to gather those, he was 29 calves short. And all that he found was a few hair piles. No way to confirm cougar kills, and that's one of the things that the bill talks about, is confirming the kills. Well, we're not going to confirm those kills. We come up short calves every year. We suspect it's cougars, but we have no way to prove that. We know that we have a real problem with cougars there. Bill Moore, that testified earlier, lives up the river from me. I have a neighbor just down the road from me, that widow lady, that had a cougar right outside of her yard. Went out there one morning to feed a bummer calf at the first daylight. And the dogs were all huddled around her feet, three dogs, and she couldn't figure out why they were so pressing in on her that morning. And then she saw in an old dead apple tree just outside the yard, there's something up in the tree, and then she saw that it had the shape of a very big cat. And she got back to the house and called the fella that runs the place for her, and he came up and killed it. There is a real problem, and it's, you know, we, as ranchers, we have a real concern with this growing cougar population. We primarily run on private ground, and timber property that we have is the place where we have the greatest loss. That's where the cougars are primarily, and also that we border our neighbors there, the one that lost the 29 fall calves that fall of 2003. Very likely that picture of that cat that I shared with you was responsible for part of that loss. So we do really encourage you to do whatever it takes to get this bill through and to the Senate and on through to the governor. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Shumway? Thank you very much. Matt Wilson and Rachel Wilson. Steve J, or you have him? Yeah. This is Steve J.
My name's Matt Wilson. I'm from Silver Lake, Oregon. I'd like to apologize for my protocol. I'm not very good at this. Never done it. So, anyways, we drove up from Silver Lake. It's 7 hours from here. It's in the southern Oregon desert, Lake County. We have a group of names, and we'd like to petition for Lake County to be included in this. One of the first things I'd like to say is I looked up this bill on the computer, and the only thing I could find about it was anti-hunting groups opposing it. One of their first big statements was that that you representatives were bowing to the urges of houndsmen. And it appears to me this bill wasn't even brought to you by houndsmen. So I'd like to get that straight. Even though we do want to see our dogs back in the woods hunting, I'm not sure I can fully support this because I'm not sure if I want to trade off some of the things that are being brung up, as in certifying my abilities as a houndsman. I already pay my fees and my tags, and I run bobcats and coon legally in the state. I work for the Oregon State Department of Fish and Wildlife when they call me on cougar complaints. I feel I don't need to be certified. And if we do need to be certified, I think it should be in-house through maybe Oregon Sporting Dogs Association or someone like that, not through a government agency. I also hear things that kind of bother me. I don't want to even for a second let anyone believe that I don't feel human endangerment or livestock damage is not a big problem. It definitely is. In Lake County, it's a very big problem, and we go on all day listening to stories about dogs and people that have been chased and everything. But one thing I do notice is the lack of that this is about cougar populations, not about deer and elk populations. This is about the management of cougars and what is the best way to do that. ODF&W's first statement on their website is that they address concerns scientifically. Now, when you have a group of people in urban areas voting in mandating the way they should control a predator animal such as the cougar, I don't see how that can be scientific. So let's let these people do what they should do and go at this scientifically. And I haven't met any of them that don't agree that hound hunting is one of the best tools and most scientific and the best for the cougars. You don't get guys rolling out of their pickup truck and blazing away at a cat over in the ditch and finding out it's a 50-pound kitten. Or, you know, if you run them and tree them with the hounds, you can look at them. You can assess that that's the cat that needs to be harvested. I don't want to go on too long and windy here. I guess in closing, I just want to see what's... I want my hunting rights back as a houndsman. I want my daughter to be able to hunt her hounds. I want her kids to be able to hunt their hounds. I want what's best for the cougar. I want what's best for the population of Oregon. And I'd like to see the deer and elk get a fair shake, too. So in closing, that's about the best I can say today. Thank you for hearing me out.
You said it very well. Any questions? Go ahead.
All righty. Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name's Rachel Wilson. Of course, I'm Matthew's wife.
Who do you have with you?
This is Ruby. She is our oldest daughter. We also have two younger daughters at 6 and 4. And they've been to many trees at this point in their little lives. And they have the utmost respect for predators of any kind, creatures of any kind. It's been a really great educational tool. And, you know, personally, I think that they'll grow up to be pretty wise young women. Basically, I'm here to voice the statements, concerns, input of Lake County citizens. First of all, we would very much like to be considered as one of the 10, if not the 11th, county in this bill. I have to say that I don't believe that Lake County will agree with some of the Fish and Wildlife's amendments. In some ways, Lake County is very disappointed with our Fish and Wildlife and has a bone to pick. Personally, we'd like to have a county vote. We believe it is a statewide problem, and counties should be looked at individually for our individual problems. I think it's been made very clear that the majority of the states, including the west side, has this problem. So, first of all, lions have been sighted near North Lake School, and Silver Lake residents are very worried about the safety of children on the playground and walking to school from 11 Mile Corner. We would like the ODFNW to hold meetings in towns throughout our county discussing cougar issues. Locals are concerned about the possibility of human attacks and have avoided the following: walking, bike riding, children left to play in yards, horseback, trail riding, traveling alone in the wilderness. Many local pets and livestock have been attacked and or killed, some in the defense of their masters. Duck hunters and fishermen have been stalked and have had many sightings near Anna Reservoir, Summer Lake, Oregon. And at this point, with many requests, ODFNW has been not willing to provide any warning signs in these areas, including hole-in-the-ground monument. We are noticing, and this is one of our major complaints, a severe decimation of deer and elk populations. And we find this not only due to the overwhelming cougar populations, but to our wildlife biologist, which is in great support of trapping cougars, which would not allow us to be selective as to what it is we get. Mary Jo Hedrick. Right now, we have 3 elk seasons. We have first season, general season, we have a second season, and then we have a season that is, I believe, called the Murdoch Creek, which lasts all the way through March. So you can imagine we'll have some cows with live calves being killed at that point. Yeah. And this has been going on for 6 years, and the idea behind that is that elk are not native to our land, regardless of pictographs on Pitcher Rock Pass and surrounding areas. Lions venturing into town and across 100 plus miles of desert where they've never been seen in years past. Lions exhibiting no fear to humans, and young and old lions scavenging off dead piles, domestic animal feed, and dying of literal starvation. We have approximately 4 to 7 problem cougars killed in our county a year. As a houndswoman myself, I get real upset with the fact that we have a lot of ODFNW opposition to helping a lot of our community members. We have a lot of elderly folks, widows that have big ranches, and when sighting cougars, we have a heck of a time being able to get out there and protect them, whether it's their livestock that's being attacked, you know, horses, dogs, whatever. I don't believe that we need ODF&W to educate houndsmen. I don't feel that we need to spend dollars, put dollars toward ODF&W to teach us how to manage our own animals when there is no previous knowledge or research done behind that at this point.
You're over your time.
I believe that's all I have to say, so thank you for your time. Oh, I do have a few documents here, if I can pass them.
Great. We can make copies. Jeanette can take them. Thank you very much. The only question I had was, would Lake County be one of the counties under House Bill 2781 with the highest cougar population?
No, it is not right now, and that's one of my problems with the initiative, or the bill. The one man spoke that something needed to be done for human safety. If we don't do it, a child or something would get hurt, and it definitely will. I believe that will happen. But I don't believe saying Northeast Oregon and Southwest Oregon are the only problem spots. We'll do this as a pilot. I mean, you'd have to be living in a cave to not realize that since the ban has occurred, what has happened with the cougar populations and what the problems we are having. It was said it was going to happen when the ban was initiated, and it's come home and it's come to bed.
Thank you.
So, you know, we don't have to study it to death to find that out. One thing I would like to express, and why I'd like to see Lake County and other counties be able to opt in as soon as possible, is how are you going to what will the response be when you have this pilot program in Northeast and Southwest Oregon and a child gets killed in Lakeview? Then what will the response be? Well, the pilot program's working great in Northeast Oregon, but your daughter's dead in Lakeview.
Good point.
So I'd like people, the way I see this is I do a lot of trading with my buddies, and we get to throwing things back and forth, and I go, geez, you know, I'd sure like to have that silver bit, but God, I'm not willing to take a soaking over it. So we trade a little bit more, and we work it out till it's fair for both of us. Well, seeing how this is the first one, I think we should do a little more trading and hash this out a little bit and get some things worked out so it works out best for all of us.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Martin Farley, Marvin, Greg Jones, Fred Warner, Charles Britton, we've got like 1 hour left and lots of people, so if you could not read it, hi, thank you for coming. Thank you. Do you want to go ahead? Tell us who you are.
My name is Greg Jones.
Greg Jones.
Malheur County. I work with Wildlife Services. I agree quite a bit with the last gentleman that was up here. I've got a few things that kind of bother me with this. One, I would not give the department, the Fish and Game, the authority for setting standards on handling dogs and training personnel. They don't know anything about handling dogs or running lion, and as each year goes by, they get further and further away from that that expertise. You've got to, I think you'd have to leave that in-house. I wouldn't even get into that department. The second problem I really have is with, why do we need a pursuit season? This whole thing is because we've got too many lions, and we need to get rid of those lions. And these lions are down next to urban areas and next to populations where we have human health and safety problems. Why are you going to run that lion back up into the hills and let him go? What you're doing is, you're, number one, is a lot of houndsmen are going to tree that lion, and they're going to jump him again, and they're going to tree him again, and they're going to jump him again. And what you're doing is you're treating that animal to jump. And then pretty soon you're going to have an animal that you've got a problem animal to treat. And if that animal becomes a livestock killer or a human health and safety problem, then you've really got a problem on your hands. I see the need to bring hounds back up to the level of where they are very proficient, which we don't have them in the state anymore because of Measure 18. But I think it could be a problem to where, yeah, we've got this pursuit season. If you take one lion that's at an urban area, you bump him up into the high country, one of the reasons that cat is down there is either because he doesn't have enough to eat or another cat has kicked him out. So if you kick him back up there, you're going to kick maybe one or two more down or kick that cat to another area where you're not going to have a houndsman or as good as a houndsman to where that cat might kill. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Warner?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name's Fred Warner. I'm the chairman of the Baker County Board of Commissioners. Welcome to Baker County. We do appreciate the House and Senate committees coming out to Eastern Oregon. We spend a lot of time driving out, driving to Salem to see you, and we love that you're here. I think it stopped snowing, so we don't have to panic. Just a sidelight, I believe this is the first meeting in this building. The building is just finished, and we have a great facility here. I have given written testimony, and so I will just summarize. The Baker County Board of Commissioners supports both bills. Or any bill that can be passed through the Senate and signed by the governor. And we would really like to hear from you as to what we can do as this moves through the process, because this is step one, and we want to be there, and I believe everybody in this room wants to be there at step 5, 10, or wherever this ends. So. Human safety, game populations, and the issues with ranchers I've addressed in my written testimony. The one thing I'd like to highlight is the economics of hunting season in eastern Oregon. I don't know about southern Oregon, but over the years it's been a huge industry. It's dropping off each year, and it has a severe impact on Baker County and all of Northeast Oregon, and that can't be overstated. That's one of what I call the four cornerstones of what the cougar population has done to economics in Baker County. Listen to the people here today, and thank you very much for coming.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Warner. Any questions for the County Commissioner? Thank you. This is a wonderful facility. You must be very proud. Thank you. Mike Slingard, and hopefully I say this right, Slingard, and Bob Slingard, and John Hasinger. I tell you, you guys have great names. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Mike Slinkard. I'm a Southeast Committeeman for the Oregon Bow Hunters.
Okay.
And also live in John Day, lifelong bow hunter outdoorsman. And I'd like to say that the cougar issue is a very intense issue among bow hunters statewide. And also kind of hits kind of close to home to me being in John Day. John Day sets on the edge of the Strawberry Wilderness, and since the passage of Measure 18, as we've heard today throughout, of course, cats have been much more prevalent. I would say on average of one cat sighting in the city limits of John Day probably every month for the last couple of years. It's been several killed in town. Actually, I have a business near the airport in the industrial park. We actually had a four-point mule deer buck killed within a quarter mile of that this last Thanksgiving weekend. There's an elementary school that is central to Canyon City, which is located right next to John Day. It's only a matter of time with the amount of cats that are coming through that we're going to see a kid get killed there. I have two daughters, one of which still attend that school, and I think that when this happens, whether it be at our school or one of the other ones, if this bill isn't passed, it'll be directly on the head of those who oppose it. I also have a little picture that I'd like to share. This picture was emailed to me by a person in northeastern Grant County, and it's a picture of taken by a still game camera. Basically, they're a motion sensor camera that photographs game as it passes. As you can see, there's a pretty good sized cat right on the tail of a mule deer. In Grant County, in the last last few years, our mule deer population has been completely decimated. What used to be prime mule deer habitat still is. There's no deer in it. I think that kind of demonstrates the number of cats. It would be extremely unlikely to get a picture like that because it takes a picture in a very small area. So kind of an interesting photo that I thought I'd throw out. I actually oppose the limited entry idea that the ODFW brought out. There again, we don't have a concern of having too few cats right now. I don't believe it's possible that if you killed a couple extra cats over the quota, that it's going to have a negative effect on the cat population. I also feel that probably the quota needs to go up, at least for the first few years of this. Another concern that I had listening to this was I actually support a pursuit season, but I want to be sure that we don't that as this goes through, that people don't get the idea that a pursuit season is enough. Yes, pursuit season is probably going to keep the cats away from town, possibly. But we have too many cats, and we may need to make sure that this doesn't get turned around. And they say that the pursuit season is enough of a management tool, because it's not. In closing here, I support it. I know most of the bow hunters that I represent in Southeast Oregon certainly support this, and I urge that you guys do whatever you can to get it passed.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No. Go ahead.
Madam Chair and committee members, my name is Phil Hassinger. I'm a farmer, rancher from Union County. I'm presently the president of the Union County Farm Bureau. And I'm speaking for House Bill 2759 with amendments. After what we have seen recently come to us from the federal and state level regarding wolves, this bill is a breath of fresh air, and I thank you for it. I'm not going to be redundant with testimony that has gone before, but I would like to say that the testimony we have heard regarding livestock loss is compelling and graphic and real. It affects the economics of areas and persons, and that's probably the primary reason I would speak in favor of this bill. Recently, I attended a ODFW meeting in LeGrand. It was a management objective meeting for Starkey and Catherine Creek units, and I, for the first time, saw a graph of the wildlife numbers, and I could correlate it in my mind with the 1994 measure. And while those department members were sensitive about not drawing conclusions, I drew conclusions. We need good data. I believe this bill will provide the opportunity for good data in these 9 counties. And lastly, about a year ago, I went to buy a dog. I went down to Corvallis, and I wound up visiting a breeder that was breeding black and tan coon hounds. And I didn't intend to buy a coon hound. I just wanted a question about what is an open ball mouth answered. I found out the answer to that question. I'll keep it a secret. But in visiting with that breeder, I found out that he was selling his black and tan coon hounds as companion dogs now because of the loss of the opportunity to use them. I think, and it answers probably Representative Sumner's question, is the infrastructure for hunting declining? Yes, it is. And I think it'll be a little bit of time to get back up to speed with that. Again, thank you for sponsoring and introducing this bill, and I support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Thank you.
Can I make one more real quick thing?
Very quick.
After you get this passed, go for bears, too. We need those, too.
Rod Clawitter, James Foley, and Lynn Akers. And I know you can make it quickly, right?
I've got a lot of ground to cover.
I know you. Me too.
For the record, my name's Rod Glauder. I'm from Estacada, Oregon. I'm here today representing Oregon United Sporting Dog Association, and I'd like to go on record as tentatively supporting this bill, 2759, with the current amendment as a minimum. A couple of the things that I would, one of the things I'd like to say is that I appreciate both the House leadership for recommending these field hearings, and your willingness to facilitate that in an area that is directly affected by this bill. However, this is not an eastern versus western situation. It's a urban versus rural, and I think Representative Sumner and Boquist and Chair Smith, I know that you have your own cougar stories and so on and so forth, none of which are in eastern Oregon. In response to somebody brought up the Oregonian editorial this morning, and I actually haven't seen it, but I know what some of the questions were. Ballot measure 18 passed in 9 of Oregon's 36 counties total. As you go through this process, bear in mind that our current governor was elected in 8 of those 9 counties. That could impact the acceptance of this bill. One of the other things that I wanted to speak to was the pursuit aspect of this bill. Being reasonably familiar with dogs, as an education piece, dogs are not like a set of golf clubs. You can't put them in the closet and bring them out 6 years later and go golfing. It doesn't work that way. As far as speaking to the need of a pursuit season, I would ask you to note that the Department of Fish and Wildlife, for their state agents to deal with cougars, has what they call a Cougar Hound Training Pursuit Protocol. It's a program by which state agents are allowed to train their dogs 365 days a year on public and private ground virtually anytime and anywhere they please. That was brought about by the necessity to keep at least some minimum of trained hounds, specifically in that situation, to respond to public safety issues. As far as supporting the pursuit part, that would, I think that's a critical piece of it. Along with the aversion therapy, as we call it. If you don't hear that today, I'm sure that when we get back to Salem and this moves forward, I know we heard it last session, the proponents of ballot measure 18 will tell you that ballot measure 18 is working because of those numbers that you see in the harvest. After sitting in this room today and listening to this testimony, I would question that, and I hope you would too. And I appreciate you moving this bill. I have reservations about it, but as a minimum, as a starting point, I can accept it.
Thank you.
Any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
I think so. Thank you very much. Go ahead. For the record,
excuse me. For the record, my name is Lynn Akers. I live in Richland, Oregon. It's 45 miles east of here. I have 6 children. 4 of those are still living at home. I have 2 sons that are 11 and 13 years old. In 2002, my 11-year-old was irrigating no more than 150 yards from my home. Just before dark, he had my kids have 4-H sheep, so they had have a guard dog, and the guard dog happened to be with him. He was on the ditch irrigating, saw something out of the corner of his eye. 30 yards away, he saw a cougar running from him. How long it had been there, how close it had been to him, we have no idea. to back up a little bit, as I was growing up, my brother and I would often take off out into the outdoors. I've been involved in logging and ranching my entire life, so spent a lot of time in the outdoors. We'd take off from home with a sack lunch and our BB guns and our pet dog and be gone for hours. Now, in relationship to what I had growing up as a young man, my son's irrigating from now on, from the time of that cougar sighting, they go from our home not armed with a BB gun. One of them has a .22 pistol. One of them packs a .38. They're well trained in the safety and whatnot, and they're very proficient with a firearm. But I would rather see them leave home with a BB gun. 2 years ago, on opening day of deer season, we do a lot of hiking when we hunt. On opening day, we saw 5 bear, 1 set of fresh cougar tracks, 2 does without fawns. It's really obvious to those of us who live in rural eastern Oregon, northeastern Oregon, other areas that, we've heard testimony from, that there's a big problem. Those of us who spend a great deal of time out in these areas, we know what the deer populations are doing, what the elk populations are doing. We definitely know what the cougar populations are doing. The same year that the cougar was, close to my son when he was irrigating, we acquired a couple hound pups. We've been hunting bobcat and raccoon, and just this last winter, I was able to get signed up with OFNW with a permit to pursue, in case of safety or damage issues involving cougar. This winter we did tree 1 cougar. We treat it and dispatched it within 100 yards of a school bus stop. The permit I have allows me to go on these complaints within the vicinity of Richland, Oregon, and Newbridge area. It's a good idea to help keep the cats out of this urban environment, but that's just a little aspirin. We're just inviting more to come in because of the population in the higher country. As the gentleman said earlier, cougars by nature are going to push other cougars out of their areas. So unless we get something done to where, people can use hounds and go at these cats up into the higher country, we're just creating a bigger problem. And I really appreciate what you folks are doing. I hope this can get passed. I support the 10 county and the quota system. As this gentleman to my right stated, I agree with him that 10 counties is not enough. I'd like to see the counties that did not pass Measure 18 all be included in this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is James Foley. I live in Lapine, Oregon. I'm speaking for the National Land Rights League, which is a nationwide organization of land rights advocates. And you might wonder why a land rights advocate is speaking before you're here today. I think the answer to that is in the testimony that we've already heard here this afternoon. These people own land. The ranchers, the farmers that live out here in this part of the state, they don't have the option of picking up and going somewhere else. Cougars do. I have a very short email that I received from a single mother in Washington State regarding this that I'd like to read to you. But first, I'd like to say very simply, a cat is a killer. They're not malicious. They're not vindictive. It's what they do. Your little house cat kills things. To make an analogy, if there's a killer in an urban setting and we have the tools to keep that from happening, we're remiss and irresponsible if we don't do it. The same thing applies here. If we have the tools, which I see in this proposal before us, and we don't use them, we're irresponsible. I'd like you to consider that as you consider the testimony that you hear, and I'd like to read this email from this single mother into testimony.
Is it very long?
No, it's very short.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right now, I'm typing this with a heavy heart. A cougar attacked our pregnant mare on the night of March 20. I live in eastern Washington State. Just to let you know, this mare is gentle, as a gentle mare that my youngest rides. We're not a family that has a lot of money, so we're not some big breeding farm. In fact, I'm a single parent with two horses that are my children's horses. These horses are part of our family. This mare is one that we purchased cheap when she was young, and my older daughter trained her. My youngest is not an experienced horsewoman yet, so this mare has been a real blessing in our life. Last year, her sister talked to a neighbor about breeding this mare. She saved her money up for the breeding fee. She's been so excited about this that she's been going out and taking almost daily pictures of our mare, and her time is close. I guess what spurred me to write this is I just finished reading a news blip about how animal rights people are upset that hound hunting might be reinstated in Oregon. I wish I could send some of these folks pictures of our mare, but somehow I've got a feeling they just wouldn't care. Just to let you know, when they outlawed hound hunting in our state, cougar populations exploded. Hound hunting is about the only way of successfully hunting these animals. In no way are we alone in our shock and grief over this attack, as I've heard of this happening to many others. Our area used to be full of large herds of deer that seem to have disappeared over the time period since hound hunting was banned. And I'm going to stop this here for the sake of time. I thank you folks for
Could you submit that to the committee?
I'm going to.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm going to call Connie Thiel. Let's see if I say that name right. Laura Ireland Moore from the Humane Society. And I think we have a lady who drove from Eugene, Catherine Cohn. If you'd like to come forward. And for the record, please go ahead.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Connie Thiel. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm not a flatfoot. I grew up in a place called Platteville, Colorado, a very small town in Colorado. We raised Herefords and Appaloosas, so I'm very well versed in all agriculture. I've branded calves. I've worked the calves, so I'm not just a flatfoot. However, I'm on the other side of the fence, and I'm probably the least popular person in this room today. So, anyway, I'm just really glad to be here to be talking to you. I lost my father last August very tragically, and my father and I had often talked about this. My father was a lifelong hunter. I've hunted with him. My brothers have all hunted. My father said, this is not a sportsmanlike way of hunting. You can't even call it hunting. It's not sportsmanlike. And he was very emphatic upon that. My sister lives in Selma, Oregon, which I visited many times. I saw a cougar there recently. It ran like hell. I asked my sister, and I said, Karen, aren't you afraid of cougars? And she said, no. I did not move to the country to expect that all the wild animals would be killed. For God's sakes, this is the West. This is the country. And she does the things that she has to protect herself. She keeps her smaller animals inside. Her children walk to the bus stop. There's never been a problem. And in 1994, when we outlawed this, I heard the same thing. It's not going to be too long till somebody gets killed. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Excuse me. And I would like to just say that there is absolutely no reason for this bill. It won't improve public safety, agriculture damage, or an isolating, declining elk population. I also want to point out that the probability of being attacked by a cougar is about 1 in 25 million. From 1980 to 1996 in Oregon, horses were responsible for 41 deaths, bees and wasps 13, and dogs 9. There has never been a cougar fatality in the history of Oregon. I'd also like to point out that even if it wasn't for Multnomah County, Measure 34, which would have repealed it, was voted against by a majority of the state, the rural areas.
I'd like to point out that Benton County voted against repealing Measure 18 by 62%, Clatsop County by 63%, Columbia County by 51%, Deschutes County by 54%. Jackson County was mentioned earlier. Jackson County voted against cougar hunting with dogs by 53%. Josephine County voted against the hunting by cougars by dogs 52%. Tillamook County, 51%. That's my point. I just really want to say that there's no reason for this. This is not going to help the elk herds come back. It's just a way to get the trophy hunters back again.
Please. The one thing I try to do in my committees is show respect to everybody.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I would appreciate a little respect.
You're getting it.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very
Smith.
Much. And thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For directing.
I appreciate it for your listening to me. Take
You're
my
welcome.
Time.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Ireland Moore, and I'm an animal law attorney, and I'm here representing the Humane Society of the United States. On behalf of the 90,000 members and constituents of HSUS, including the 4,500 members in Eastern Oregon, I want to thank Madam Chair and the committee for giving me an opportunity to testify on these bills. In opposing these bills, I certainly have an unpopular position in this room, but not with Oregon voters. And since the passage of Measure 18, those hoping to overturn the ban have made an attempt to do that each session without success. And we believe that this pilot study is our latest attempt to allow recreational hunting with radio collar dogs.
Can I stop you? I'd like to ask you why you think there are 50 co-sponsors in the legislature.
I think that they have been misrepresented in terms of what this study is all about.
What study?
And the pilot study that is...
Excuse me.
Okay. well, my point is that there are amendments that were made to the ban that address the concerns of this committee. The Oregon Revised Statutes 498-164 and 498-166 allow for the killing of cougars for a number of reasons, including if they pose a threat to human health and safety, if they show aggression towards a person, if they break into attempt to break in to any home, if they attack a pet or a domestic animal, including livestock, or if there are repeated sightings during the day evidencing a lack of awareness for humans, you're allowed to kill them.
As I might add, you're allowed to kill them, but it's very difficult to do that. Is there any
right, but,
feedback on that? Just because you're allowed to do something
right.
doesn't mean...
Well, what's interesting, though, is that in each of the zones, including the Northeast, hunters have been able to fill the quotas, or at least nearly fill the quotas, without using dogs. Okay. So they have been successful in this area in terms of filling the quota that's set by ODFNW, and they set those based on a number of factors, including nuisance complaints. So again, we just believe that there are statutory provisions in place to address all the concerns of the committee, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Go ahead. Thank you. Ms. Catherine? Yes.
Hi. Thank you for allowing us to speak. I appreciate it. I would like to address more of the biological aspects of what you're doing.
Could you state your name?
Oh, Catherine Kane.
Kane.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I'm from Eugene, and I also speak along with these ladies for the majority of the voters, and of course everyone is concerned for children's safety, but as this other lady has addressed, there are provisions that are accorded there, and we also have had no safety problems, and I'd like to point out that the biological response of cougars and how they form the habitat niches that they have to balance male and female numbers are such that you can never have an overpopulation of cougars. What these people are seeing are cats reintroduced into their natural habitat from what it was. Yeah, they live out in the south end of my town, too. We see them on the golf course. But nothing has happened. I'm really happy that that has, you know, been so successful, and I don't see why you don't see it as a success. And one of the important things is I really think that everybody in here has the wrong idea about elk declines. Wisdom has shown that roads have the greatest impact. An elk will run 5 miles if it gets scared by a car. And nutritional forage capability and habitat index body fat are what ascribe whether you're going to have successful breeding or not. I'm sure cats do have some impact. But one of the most important things I'd like to say is we already have 400 cats being killed, and these guys are telling you the truth. They think that's not enough at all. Well, the state will not be allowed to almost eradicate the cats like they have done at least on 2 different occasions. And I would like to, I have a printout for you to give us just a couple of points, but one of the most important things is this is being done under the auspices of a study. We don't need any more studies. We have had 8 years of studies about cougars and bears starting in 1987 all the way through 1984. And in 2001, they started another 5-year study that we are still involved in. And nothing ever comes of it other than paper. This is all studies. You know what these studies show? These are the lines of the cougars that were killed. Each of the studies shows that all the cats wind up dead, and guess what? The big toms go first. So you have research in Catherine Crick. You had Gagliuso in the Umpqua. The state gave me, when I went to ask at LeGrand, well, whatever came of your comprehensive report after all those years of you guys out there with those dogs and stuff. He said, oh, well, this graduate student from Washington State, she put it together for us. We don't need any more studies. This isn't about studies. This is about those dogs being in the woods. And as you know, most of the voters don't want that. The last thing that I'm going to include in my testimony is a Google page out of the Merriam-Webster dictionary that gives the definition of harass. It's from the French, and it means to set a dog on or chase.
Thank you.
It is illegal to harass wildlife in the state of Oregon, and you will be creating public safety problems when you take those big old cats that know where their deer are, because we know who comes in. It's that little scrawny 80-pound one that's sneaking through your backyard. They'll eat your cats. They'll chase your kids through the schoolyard. So please don't destabilize these populations. They're just coming back at a stable thing and looking at the age and the weight and the health and reproductive capability of these animals is what should dictate the amount of kill, not a social pressure in a remote corner of the state that we all have to drive 500 miles to come to. Thank you very much for your time.
I have about 20 minutes left. Jake Jones, John Lamino? I can't even say that right. Kurt Bauman. Am I right?
You're close.
I'm close. Welcome. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is, for the record, is John Lamoureux. I am a commissioner from Union County, and I really appreciate, Madam Chair and committee, for you coming out this way. I have just a couple of brief statements, and I'll try to be within the 2 minutes. One is we've seen a dramatic decline in our elk and deer populations. The studies are out as what's causing that. We do believe it's because of the cougars. We have had very mild winters recently. Mild winters normally mean an increase in the deer and elk populations. So we're having mild winters, and yet the deer population, elk population going down. We do know it's from the cougar. We're also recently, it appears we're going to get the wolves out here. We have less deer and elk. Once the wolves come, we're going to have even fewer deer and elk. Pretty soon, I think we're going to just name our ranches the wolf bait and the cougar bait ranches. It was hard for me, as someone who, my wife works at LeGrand Hospital, Grand Run Hospital. They've seen cougars outside the windows, patients, doctors, nurses. I have had a cougar in my front yard at a home I had in Wallowa County. I've had hunters who used to go hunting with a shotgun just for birds now take a pistol or something with a slug. One of my friends killed 2 cougars this year who ran after him as he was hunting. We have just barely avoided the problems of a personal injury out here. It's hard for me not to respond to the last 3 people who testified, but I would like to see an amendment to this bill, and that would be in the west side of the state that we ban dogs for chasing dangerous criminals, which is allowed if we cannot, if we have to insist on banning dogs from chasing dangerous cougars over here. It seems kind of crazy to me that we allow them to use dogs down there for humans, but we can't use dogs here for to protect ourselves. But I really appreciate you coming out. This is common sense. We need to do something about the cougars. I do not like the thought that if I go fishing, I must now carry a pistol. That is, you know, in the Portland area, people say be careful the side of town you go in. It's very dangerous. I hate saying to people here when you're hiking in the woods or the Eagle Cap, carry a gun with you just in case.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you.
I didn't get a response to Jake Jones or Kurt Bowman, so I'm going to go by them. Morgan Olson, Carl Heath.
No.
Go ahead, please. You get 2 minutes.
I'm Doug McCauley. I was born and raised here in Baker.
Okay.
I was born and raised here in Baker, and our governor came out, that is now elected, came out when he first came out after being elected to Baker. He said he wanted to do anything he could to help rural Oregon, rural eastern Oregon. To help us would be to pass this legislation. The group of people that I run around with, we're out in the woods every weekend. We have to pack sidearms now everywhere we go. My 14-year-old son, I allow him to pack a sidearm, a handgun, everywhere we go, hunting, fishing, out hiking. It doesn't matter. We pack sidearms. Every trip out, it doesn't matter where you go, you're seeing a cat track. And sometimes you're seeing multiple cat tracks. The elk population and deer population in this area, being born and raised here and growing up here for, I'm 41 years old, has declined immensely. According to the state statutes of Oregon Fish and Game, Oregon Fish and Game is supposed to make sure that we have a quality opportunity for hunting per the statutes. Unfortunately, with Oregon Fish and Game, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If there's a prime example of Southeast Beulah, there was 1,400 elk in Southeast Beulah. They've now annihilated them through mostly hunting, and cats. And we can't forget drought. Drought has a play in it too. But last time when Walt flew from Ontario, he only seen 200 head out of 1,400 7 years ago. The problem that I see when Roy Eckler talked, he said that he couldn't increase the cat population, the harvest quantities on cats. That's bull. The cats are the problem. Increase the quota like you're supposed to fulfill the state statutes of legislation, and then we might get this problem solved. It is a safety issue. There's been cats killed here in town. ODF&W shot one right out of a motel window along the river. So,
thank you.
The main thing is tell the governor that he did tell us that he would help rural eastern Oregon, and this is the way to do it.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Barring anybody else, Morgan Olson, I already called your name. Carl Heath. Donald Oakes. Wayne Bloom. I think people went home. Maybe they already heard. Welcome. You're Mr. Heath? Why don't you go ahead? For the record, state your name.
I'm Donald Oakes. I'm a former legislator, and I'm sure appreciate your people coming over. I tried quite a while to get a committee meeting over here, and it didn't seem to ever work out. I'm about 25 miles east of Bill Moore, who testified earlier. I'm a rancher and have been all my life. And I'll just hit a few highlights.
Okay.
For instance, in Idaho, who has dog hunting, they still have elk problems even with dog hunting all the time. The elk, it's Elk Valley area, I guess it is. It's one of the main hunting areas in Idaho, and the Owyhee County hunting area. Both the elk are decreasing because of the cougar, and yet they have dog hunting. They could have full-time dog hunting in Oregon, and I don't think it ever lose the elk, or I mean the cougar population. They had it for 50 years before 10 years ago, and the elks, I mean the cougar, seemed to survive all right. On our ranch, we have within 15 miles, 10 years ago, we had over 1,000 head of elk. 2 years ago, the most we could see was maybe 200. Last year, it was down to about 100. Six people hunted for 5 days last year, saw four elk during elk season. And this was a long season, and a nine-day season. So that just indicates what's happening to the deer and elk population. The person from Baker just ahead of me, for instance, the so-called South Beulah District is where these elk were, the 1,400 that he told about. They were probably part of the 1,000 head that are within 15 miles of where I live. But now they're down to 100 or 200. Now, the fish and game are clear mixed up as far as I'm concerned. They're losing millions of dollars because they aren't going to have any game left to hunt, and yet they're complaining about no money. They spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to study wolves, and the wolves are going to be just as bad or worse than the cougar. And they spend, in a sense, thousands of dollars to study cougar. Well, they aren't solving any problems, they're just studying. The cougar population, I don't think they have any idea of how many cougars there are. We have a bobcat hunter, a neighbor. He has had to quit bobcat trails time after time this winter because a cougar crossed the trail and he couldn't hunt the bobcat anymore because the dog would go after the cougar. And one dog is not very good to hunt cougar because you'll lose a dog.
Thank you.
To train a dog, probably to hunt cougar, it takes like 2 years. Now, their so-called date in their amendment and their study indicates that they should wait until 2008 to make a lot of these decisions. By 2008, French Glen, Lake County, all these people where there's ranchers are going to start losing a lot more cattle. For instance, a French Glen man that loses 50% of his calf crop, each calf is worth from $400 to $600. It wouldn't take very long for his calf crop to pay a lot of the expenses at the Fish and Wildlife. But that doesn't concern Fish and Wildlife. If they want to do something, they better include all of eastern Oregon, or maybe all the state, and then try and persuade the governor that we have a problem, because we do have a problem.
Thank you, Mr. Oakes. Thank you. And I called Wayne Bloom, and he didn't answer. Dennis Reynolds. Claire German. I want to call you people up. Now, go ahead. And Larry Roberts. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and members of the Agricultural and Natural Resource Committee. First of all, I didn't want to let it escape me how much I appreciate the fact that having the intestinal fortitude to bring commission meetings or committee meetings to the east side. We very much appreciate that. In my particular case, it saved me 7.5 hours difference between home and here and Salem and here. My name is Dennis Reynolds. I'm here speaking on behalf of the people whom I represent in Grant County. I'm their chief executive officer and county judge. I hope that I am able to express the degree of frustration that the community that I live in, the county of Grant, and what's happening with cougar numbers. I came to Grant County in 1954, and at the age of 14 in the year 1963, I had my first cougar encounter. It wasn't a visual sighting, but it was a listening. I heard a cougar. When you do that, you'll discover the hair stands up on the back of your neck. I quite certainly will assure you that. But the interesting thing was, it was 34 years later before I had my second encounter. That was in the year 1997. And what I want to talk to you about today is a 14-mile stretch and 2.5 million acres of real estate in Grant County. This 14-mile stretch starts in downtown John Day and goes to my home 11.7 miles south of the courthouse. During that time, and in the interest of brevity, I personally observed, because I can only speak to those things, not being a game biologist, but a professional forester by education. Personally, I observed 8 cougar in the last 8 years between the courthouse and my home, 11.7 miles south of Canyon City. Those cougars were seen from the courthouse. They were seen on the bridges in the town. And my wife last observed one 2 months ago with a house cat in its mouth at my son's bus stop. I was told about other encounters. There have been 14 other stories that I could recall since I was sitting listening today. 14 other sightings within John Day. Probably the most unique one is there was a false fountain created at SNC Electric in John Day. This spring, in testifying before the Wolf hearings, I met a gentleman from Portland who said that at 4:30 in the morning he saw a cougar standing at that fountain in downtown John Day. My point, and to get to the point, is the frequency with which we're seeing cougars is intolerable. We need to have a bill like this, a right to protect our families, a right to protect our interests, our private property, being our livestock, and it's just simply wrong. So I'm going to jump to one other argument that came when there was this notion of disagreement. And that is, I want to commend you for understanding that we are not a democracy. We do not simply take a vote and stand before each other and say, those who vote yes, 2-1 win. We are a republic. And in a republic, we have to find a solution that appeases the majority of the interest of all concerned. So every time you take that Pledge of Allegiance, it reminds me, we pledge to a republic. We are not a democracy, as people would have us believe. Out of town, you heard about the one in Omak. I had a personal experience with the cougar attack on that mare. I too got it on the email, and I shared it with my family members that live in Moses Lake. Lo and behold, they wrote back and said, interesting that you should suggest it. Your nephew saw one this afternoon in the road at Moses Lake, just 11 miles from Moses Lake. These things I can testify to because I know they're true.
Am I going to get a speeding ticket if I cut you off?
No. An attorney told me yesterday, because I handle probate issues also within my county. An attorney told me he's going to get out a concealed handgun permit. And I said, well, has it become that rough in Grant County? And he said, no. He said, there's just too many cougar sightings, and I exercise every morning. I would also ask that you keep Grant County in whatever array of counties that you give concern to this bill. We're here to support the bill. We're here to aid and assist you in any way we can in providing specific information or details. And one last comment I'd like to make is, remember, in that food chain of predators, the cougar is second only to the wolf. So what we're seeing today, we'll see soon in the future again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I have Warren Whitnaw, Stan Hermans, and Brett Brownscombe.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much for coming. This is my wife, Betty. We live, and I'm Warren Whitnaw, and this is my wife, Betty. We live in Richland. Yes.
I recognize you.
I can't.
Go ahead.
We live in Richland, Oregon, and more precisely, Newbridge. And Newbridge recently has been described as the cougar capital of Baker County. We have a grandchild that has been living with us now for 2.5 years. And in the past 2.5 years, he has to catch the bus, which is probably about 150 yards from our house. And within the last 2.5 years, there's been 6 cougar sightings right at the bus stop. Lynn Akers just talked about getting one of the cougars, and that happened to be on our property within 100 yards of this bus stop. The other concern that I have is for the deer. We have on our property, there's one about 40-acre section, and we have lots of deer that come down in the winter. Last February, Betty and I, hiking and riding the horses on that property, we found 23 deer carcasses. I don't know anything about studies, but I know there's a lot of them killed. Two of them were nice, big four-point bucks. Most of the rest of them were fawns. So I don't know about studies, but it seems to me like they've just about wiped out the deer. The other big concern we have is we raise horses. 3 years ago, we had a young filly that ran through 2 fences, skewered herself on an iron post, dragging her intestines around, and she had to be destroyed. We found out later that morning there had been a cougar sighting very near our property. Last year, we had a group of horses ran through 2 brand new fences, tipped over a huge rock jack. One mare we finally had to destroy because she had torn all the tendons loose. We found out later we had a baby colt that will probably never be right. She's broken a shoulder and still alive, but that's the way it goes. We found out that next day there was a cougar sighting pretty close to right near where these horses went through the fence.
Thank you.
So I don't know about studies, but I'm going to tell the ladies that testified here. I don't know about, you know, they said there's been enough studies. Our studies say they can have them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Nice seeing you. I have Stan Herman.
Yeah, hi, I'm Stan Hermans. I'm a rancher from Kimberly, Oregon. And I didn't know about the 25 copies, so I'll just give this
That's
one.
That's okay.
Anyway, in late August in 2003, a cougar jumped a dog that was tied to a tree at the end of our yard. This happened during a birthday party while little kids were playing in the yard. Another dog chased a cougar up a tree and we shot it. The report by ODF&W was that it was a healthy 2-year-old female. I found the tracks in the dust that showed a pair was traveling together. That fall, hunters found 5 elk calves and 1 dead elk cow killed by cougars. During the spring of 2004, we started losing sheep. The cougar came into the pasture and killed 10 lambs and ewes. It took 1 lamb but left the rest. Due to rainy conditions, the dogs were unable to get a track. ODF&W set traps out for a month, but the cougar did not return. The cougars returned several times last summer, killing more sheep, but due to the heat, the dogs were unable to pick up a track. From March of 2004 to January of this year, the cougar killed 34 sheep and 2 goats. These sheep were Barbados and kept behind an 8-foot game fence. The sheep pen was next to a pen of cow elk and their calves. The cougar did not bother them, so much for the theory that they killed their natural prey. The cougar returned on January 6th and killed 2 more sheep. The next night I took a spotlight out and saw the cougar. It crouched down and then ran off. We called around and found some dogs, but by the time the dogs arrived 2+ hours later, it had snowed and partly covered the tracks. I went back down the alley on my four-wheeler, and there were fresh tracks on top of mine less than 10 minutes old. The cougar had been in the pen trying to drag the sheep under the gate. The cougar was treed and killed. It was a female, 6 to 7 years old. ODF&W thought there might be kittens around. In February, two young cats were shot in the pasture with 30 of our yearling colts, and another cat was seen on the road. The dogs couldn't get the trail, so it's still out there. We're out of sheep now, and the last goat is living with 7 bull elk, so he's probably pretty safe. The John Day ODF&W were very helpful. The John Day biologist helped set traps and gave me a permit to use dogs to track the cougars. But we found out that dogs' effectiveness is directly related to the time involved and the conditions that hold the scents. The dogs are not always effective after the fact. In our case, we were always reactive and trying to do something after an attack. These cats do not fear anything because they're not hunted. The last sheep were killed less than a quarter mile from my daughter's house where my grandchildren play in the yard. It's a sad situation here in Oregon. The unaffected voters in Western Oregon can pass laws that protect a predator that preys on our livestock and game animals here in Eastern Oregon. The law needs to be changed, allowing proactive hunting of cougars with dogs. This could be done on a statewide or countywide basis, and I do support your proposed legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. It's Mr. Brown's phone?
Yep.
Yes.
Chair Smith, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brett Brownscomb. I live in La Grande, Oregon, where I work for Hell's Canyon Preservation Council as a staff member. To start, Hell's Canyon Preservation Council is not a Measure 18 proponent. I did not vote for or against the measure. I want to raise that we recognize that a problem does exist, and from our perspective, it relates primarily to ungulate populations, not to dismiss livestock and human safety concerns, but from our perspective, the ungulate issue, in which cougars do play a part, is a problem that we'd like to recognize. The current law does allow individuals to kill cougars and even using dogs when they're threatening human and livestock populations, and that's as it should be. But what we're clearly seeing is ungulate recruitment going down and cougar numbers going up. And that, we believe, is a pattern that has been a work in progress since the 1960s, that it's, even if Measure 18 had not passed, that trend would likely still exist. It's related to cougar numbers. Cougars have been protected and given that status. Their competing predators have been eliminated, and they've been allowed time to grow, whereas the ungulate pressures have increased, not just from predation, that's a part of it, but also forage quality, drought, nutrition, and habitat disturbance. What we're looking at now is that cougars are currently being managed. The question is, how are they being managed, and is it working? And from our perspective, we have concerns over how cougars are being managed with the $10 ticket that anybody can carry in the back pocket, not on an opportunistic basis, take a cat. We believe that fundamentally we're not opposed to the use of dogs. We think that that is a management tool that can target specific animals in a specific area, whereas the current management approach doesn't do that. We also believe that using dogs will not necessarily crush cougar populations. But use of dogs alone does not necessarily mean that cougar numbers are going to decrease or that the problem will be solved, which I think is evidenced by the numbers of cougar being killed since 94 has increased, yet the populations have not decreased. So is the problem being solved? And will simply adding dogs to the equation solve it? As to the bill itself, we have some specific concerns that I'll outline later in written testimony for the sake of time. Generally, though, the major concern is that we view the bill as a bit of a confused approach that needs to be resolved in and of itself. Is the bill a pilot approach in which case we have some concerns with the design of the pilot and whether it will be able to produce meaningful science that the department can use and replicate across the state.
And you're going to submit written testimony to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or is the method, is the bill a method of overturning Measure 18, in which case it should apply statewide, and if not, you're setting up a situation where certain counties have management options available, whereas to address what's perceived as a problem, whereas other counties don't. And that is an issue of unequal treatment. So to draw to a conclusion, we believe that the best wildlife management is not through the ballot initiative process, nor is it through the legislative process. There's a department in the state of wildlife professionals that should be charged with coming up with a science-based solution to this issue. And we think that the department should be authorized and charged with creating a well-designed approach to this issue. The current bills, we don't believe, do it. And we think that if the bills do attempt an end around Measure 18, which no matter how uneducated some people feel the vote was on that initiative, that it was passed by a majority, and there's still a considerable number of people out there that could come back with something like that. And so if something like that measure is going to be overturned, it needs to be on a consensus basis. And at this point, we don't feel the current bills get there.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. I had two other people who hadn't signed up. It is 4 o'clock. I would like to go to work session on these bills. Dave Walker, Oregon Hunters, they alluded to you. Do you want to add anything or very shortly, very quickly? Okay. He's available to answer any questions. Duncan McKenzie, did you have something you wanted to add? You come up. You have to be on the microphone. Thank you.
My name is Duncan McKenzie, and I'm an Eastern Oregon rancher. And everybody's talked about the deer and the sheep, or the deer and the bighorn sheep. I thought I would talk about the bighorn sheep. And in 1962 or 65, I can't remember, they turned 14 ewes and 3 rams loose on our place.
Does this relate to these two bills?
Yes.
It does.
In support of these bills.
Okay.
And they turned these bighorn sheep and these 3 rams loose on our ranch in 1965, say. And from that time to 1994, we had up to 500 bighorn sheep. And they were Fish and Game was selling like 14 tags. Mm-hmm. And now today, we counted 27 last year. That shows you how much the cougars kill. In 10 years, they've destroyed 30 years of work. And last year alone, we move our horses around trying to hide the horses from the cougars. Last year, we had to destroy 2 mares, and we have 1 mare we should have, and we've lost 3 colts just in 1 year. And now we don't know what we're going to do with our horses. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our public testimony. I guess I'll close the...
Madam?
Yes?
Chair, thank you. Before you go into a work session, I don't know if you could do this when you're in the work session, but I did have a couple questions from Fish and Wildlife, and I don't know if you...
Well, they're going to come up during the work session, so I can close the public hearing, and that closes the public testimony part of it. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2759 and 2781, and I'm going to open a work session on... Well, I guess we could ask committee if we want to bring up... Do you have some questions for Fish and Wildlife?
I've got a couple.
I assume the other committee. Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2759. Representative Boquist?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move that we adopt Amendment 1 to House Bill 2759.
I have a motion from Representative Boquist to move Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2759. Do I have any objections? Do
Do I have any discussion? So moved.
Representative Boakley.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 2759-1, as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
As amended?
As amended.
I have a motion from Representative Boakley to move House Bill 2759 as amended with a referral to Ways and Means. And I think at this point we have the motion. We can have the questions and discussion. Any discussion? Representative Beyer, would you like to have Fish and Wildlife come up?
Questions for Fish and Wildlife, if someone could come up.
Ron, thank you very much. I guess I might just add we've heard a lot of testimony today, and it's been very compelling, and I appreciate all the interest that we've had. We have a bill with we have two bills in front of our committee. We have fiscal implications that makes the subsequent referral to Ways and Means Committee, and I think that's where we need to go, and that's why we're doing this in the work session. So,
thank
Representative
Beyer,
would you have?
Yes. In your testimony and the concerns that you had about this bill, I mean, obviously the first one was to reduce the program area. And is this more of a fiscal issue that, or, I mean, as in, would you have enough, you wouldn't have, if it were a smaller area, would you have the staff to do this and it would have a lower fiscal, or can you? Is that clear enough?
Sure. Yes, it is.
Sure. Representative Beyer, yes, it is more of a fiscal issue than it is anything else. Having to cover a large area, answer the scientific questions that are proposed within the bill and what we think would need to take to answer that, if you spread us too thin, then it costs more and we need more positions to cover that.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember if there was something else that I think I'm okay now. Madam Chair, I just wanted to say that I think it's important that we do what we can to, you know, get a bill that we can all accept and work with. But if it's a fiscal issue on the number, I think I'm comfortable sending this to Ways and Means, and if they maybe want to adjust it to fit the fiscal, then they have that option to do that, if that's the only big concern.
I think that is the one of the biggest concerns, and I think that's why we want to move it down to Ways and Means, so that we can get those answers or questions answered. We haven't received the fiscal impacts statement as of yet, and will be. So, Representative Roblin.
Yeah, mine's just a comment as well, and it goes along with that, and that is, we heard testimony earlier today, and I absolutely agree. We must get something through this legislative session, and it needs to be signed by the governor, and we need to start working on this issue because it's more important than people really understand. And once you get something working and they start seeing the stuff come back, I am confident the information coming back will say we need to do more, but we've got to get something this year, in my opinion. I appreciate the testimony that people made to that point. So, I concur that I think Ways and Means will get some of that stuff. And I know that the people sitting here will be working with people to get that to happen. So I appreciate that.
This might be a good time for the committee to make comments about what you've heard today and what you feel about this
bill. Madam Chair.
Yes,
Representative Burley. I have a question of the panel.
Yes.
thank you. In your written testimony, you made several recommendations. One is that there should be no general statewide pursuit season. And I emphasize statewide. I'm not debating the pursuit issue. I'm debating statewide. Where in this bill does it say that we're going to do anything outside of these counties that are part of the study area?
Madam Chair and Representative Burley, if you look on the proposed amendments to House Bill 2759, the first page, it's line 21 and 22. There's some ambiguous language within that. It specifically refers to allow for separate hunting and non-lethal pursuit seasons in each area managed by the department. And you can read into that in each area managed by the department, we manage virtually the whole state. And so it's not expressly clear the way it's written, but it's meant to be tied to the pilot program.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Do you have any comments you would like to make?
Get a question. Do you want to ask?
Would you like to ask him? I think we'll wait for just a second, and then we'll have Jared come up and respond to anything he might have heard before we make a vote on this. Would any of the other committee members have a question of Fish and Wildlife or
Madam
like
Chair,
to make a comment?
Yeah, I have comments, but I'll wait until after testimony's done.
Okay. I think that's it. Thank you very much. Jared Brockfoot, would you like to come up? Maybe you could respond to Representative Burley's question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Burley, to answer the question and respond to the department, if you notice in the Dash 1 amendments, it's Section 1. Under Section 1, subparagraph 1, it outlines that they shall designate these seasons in the following game management areas within the counties that are allowed. In the county, we specify 10 counties. So that sets this bill up. Section 1, sub 1, sets this bill up to what the parameters are, what the geographical areas are. It's not till sub 2 where we say the pilot program shall allow for separate hunting and non-leaf pursuit seasons in each area managed by the department. It's within those counties set up by Section 1, sub 1. And it was never our intent to make this a statewide effort. This is just for these counties within Section 1.
Thank you. Any other? Representative Burley?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for that clarification, because as one who did sign on to this bill, that was my clear understanding of the intent. And I'm glad that we've got this on the record now, that this is not intended to be statewide, but it's only in these counties that are authorized and part of the pilot project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions of Jared? Thank you. Any comments or before we take a vote? Representative Boquist?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess for the benefit, I have several comments, but for the benefit of the audience who has not been at the other hearings with the Oregon Fish and Department of Fish and Wildlife, I'm quasi the poster child as opposing the wolf plan. To some extent, Representative Burley down there is my colleague in this effort. And since we didn't succeed at that, we've become quite intimate in working with Roy Elliker and Lindsay Ball at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Despite the concerns that they raised during their testimony, I believe that they have the capacity, they have the staff, the professionalism to make the existing plan work with all of the stakeholders. I think that between now and the Ways and Means process, that can be accomplished. Unlike many people in here, and I see a few people out here, you know, I have been both a hunter and a hunted, both in the animal kingdom and in the man kingdom. So I know what it's like to hear a cougar, and I know what it's like to be elsewhere when you're tracked by an animal. In addition to that, I mentioned that, you know, I farm in several counties, and I have actually lost animals to cougars on property that I own in the Willamette Valley. I made mention that I have an 11- and a 13-year-old son today working on the Shamrock Ridge of northern Willamette County. Less than 2 miles from there this morning, there were three cougars. Now, I am fairly comfortable that they can handle themselves because sitting next to them is a four-wheeler with a rifle. However, I have a daughter that is about the same age as this young lady over here on the left. And she is crippled, and she wears braces. She cannot run away. And to have a single child lost is not right. Thus, we have two choices, and I want to read into the record the two choices. One is the bill we have right now. The second, and I'm reading, Madam Chair, from the Malala Pioneer, which is from the good representative Sumner's district. And these are suggestions. These are the tools the Oregon Fish and Wildlife has today if we do not give them this bill. This is what they suggest for cougars. And mind you, some of you are farmers, so you'd be interested in these. Avoid feeding wildlife, especially deer, as they will attract cougars who are concentrated. Pretty difficult for a farmer to eliminate production. Keep pets under control. Roaming pets are easy prey. Bring pets in at night. Same to the farmers. If you bring your dogs in at night, not only they don't chase other animals away, you'll have methamphetamine dealers out there stealing your chainsaw and everything else. Keep livestock in enclosed sheds and barns at night when possible. And I'm not beating up Fish and Wildlife. What I'm saying is these are the tools they have today. Install outside lighting. Remove dense brush from around your house so you can see the animal before it attacks you, I guess. Build a woven wire or chain link fence around your play area so your children are inside of it. And again, I'm not, these are the tools they have today. Lastly, it closes, cougars have a huge home range. One reason for this is that they are prey animals that know a cougar is in the area and become very wary and difficult to catch. Cougars are always on the move so that they can hunt unsuspecting prey, and I don't want that prey to be my daughter, and I urge passage of this bill to give management tools to Fish and Wildlife.
Thank you. Representative Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all for coming and sharing with us today, and I really appreciate being able to be here despite the long drive. I almost feel a need to apologize to the audience, and not for comments or testimony from a group of people, because I almost wish there had been more people here and to testify on the opposite side. I think it might have made it a little more balanced. But in living across the freeway from Eugene, we've gotten a lot of negative comments ourselves from residents of Eugene, so I know exactly what it feels like for someone to come and denigrate your communities and your lifestyles. And so I just wanted to make a comment about that. And thank you again for taking the time to come.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other? Representative Burley?
I too want to thank everybody for coming. I think it's been a wonderful hearing from folks. And somebody mentioned earlier the hair on the back of your neck standing up. I personally experienced that myself several years ago on Newberry Crater, hiking into an area. And you just, you know, the sense that something's watching you. And as I hiked back out, there were the tracks, and, you know, he kind of been following me for a little while. So these things are all around. You know, we like to think that it's a rural issue, and I don't know how you want to categorize the city of Bend, whether it's still rural or not, but we've had them now several times right smack downtown Bend. I mean, there were, you know, some woman woke up and here was one sleeping in her flower garden in the backyard of her house, and she's three blocks from a middle school. So these things are all over the place, and I think this is a good bill here to try and help get some of the tools back to the agency so we can get this problem managed again.
Thank you. Representative Sumner.
I just want to say I appreciate the hospitality we've received here, and I don't get over here nearly as much as I want to. I love this side of the state. One thing that was not brought up with all of the people that have sighted cougars are nocturnal animals. You're not supposed to see cougars. They are desperate if they're out feeding in the daylight, and you spot those things. This bill is a good start, I believe. I believe it's woefully inadequate. It ought to be a lot tougher and a lot broader. We need to get something done before someone suffers a loss to their family. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you, Representative Roadrunner.
Mine will just be quick. I want to invite everybody to come over to Coosa and Curry Counties, because if we had this meeting over there, you'd see the same group of people. We are very much in tune with a lot of the things that happen here. And I think that these are and will become more of a state issue, and more people will understand as time goes on. And I encourage you to recognize there are a lot of people with similar situations. We may have trees that look a little different, but there's a lot of people who like to hunt, fish, and do other things. And I know that a number of them feel the same safety issues with respect to when they go out in the woods nowadays. So appreciate everybody being here and the opportunity to be in this community.
Thank you very much. I think we've heard from everybody. I just wanted to add that I thank you two for coming out today, and I was pleased to bring this legislative committee here. I think they've gone far above and beyond what they would have done in Salem. To come here, to spend the time, and to listen to you. It is a tough issue. It's a very complex issue. I agree with Representative Roblin. We have to find some way to manage our wildlife population, our cougars in this state, before it becomes a public safety problem, as Representative Boquist has mentioned. I know it is a very political issue. Everything we do is.
I think it's our responsibility to take on these hard issues and look at them, and things do change. I live 25 miles from downtown Portland, and I saw a bobcat on my deck at 11 o'clock in the morning this summer. You're not supposed to see them either. Some of us can't carry guns all the time, so I think this is why there is 50 people signed on to this bill. You know, I'm a hunter, but it's like, you know, those guns are heavy. So it's tough. I know we have a problem in this state, and we have to deal with it, and that's our responsibility. So with that, I have a motion from Representative Boquist to move House Bill 2759 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Byer?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Burley?
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. As you can see, we've received unanimous vote. This bill is passed. House Bill 2759 is moved to the Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation as amended. Thank you very much, and I'll close the work session on House Bill 2759. Thank you very much, committee, for coming up here and spending the time. I appreciate the hospitality. Thank you very much. That we are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you very much.